B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, Delaware Valley and beyond. Bob Cooney here, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, 97.5 The Fanatic Morning Show. Thanks for joining us. Another day to just breathe in, Jamie, to breathe in, to take in, to relax, and try to realize what the hell did we watch on Sunday? And even furthermore, what's happening going forward? What's going on with you? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. Is your brain any clearer about the Eagles and their situation? Because mine certainly is not.
No, and I no, it's not. Because moving...
They're screwed, Bob.
Yeah, I'll do a devil's advocate on that. Like, moving forward, is there some signs of stuff? Like, look, when you're this bad, and we talked about it before, but when you're this bad and you go out and you play a game, you watch it differently. And I don't think, except Pat was upset, I think, that they lost on Sunday. He kept, you know, texting us, like, I hate this team.
Yeah, but
was it only because of betting purposes? Right, but he wants them to lose. Are you on mic there, Pat?
It was both. It was betting purposes, but I also wanted them to lose.
Okay, so you were saying they're bad because they came back and made it a game.
It was the thought of, in must wins, you never won, and all of a sudden now it becomes must a loss, and you're winning.
And you're battling tough. But if you go away from that game, look, I had no problem with Sunday's game, and I said that to you guys on our text on Sunday night. Like,
no, it was perfect. You lost, and
you battled.
Jalen Hurts played great,
and you might have learned some things about some guys. You know, Jalen Hurts obviously is a young player. Quez Watkins is a young player. The kid Jaquette, you know, young player that went out there and kind of battled
myself into Slay and Jaquette being elite cornerbacks next year together. So don't worry, I'm already there.
You know, Epps had he didn't really have a decent
game. He didn't have a good special teams day.
No,
I thought he had
didn't.
A solid day defensively. But
yeah, you can like Matt Pryor has to go.
Oh, he stinks.
I just read a stat before we came on air, James.
He stinks.
He's given up. He's now.
It's like half of his like pass protections. He allows pressures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's like they need to put somebody else out there this weekend or Jalen Hurts could get hurt.
Solely responsible for two of the sacks this past weekend. I mean, it's ludicrous. So yesterday's the kind of day that I, you know, we talk about what Mondays are. Mondays are the reactionary. But I think once you get midway through the day, maybe when you're relaxing after dinner, you kind of take that deep breath. And you say, all right, what exactly do you have going on here?
Yeah, you take a deep breath with this team and you go, I still have no idea how they're going to fix this.
Yeah, it's like beating a drum, you know, the same thing over and over and over again.
I heard people talking yesterday that you can't possibly even consider moving on from Jalen Hurts or, like, he's the guy. Like, unequivocally, hand the keys to the kingdom over. Carson Wentz is done here. He'll never throw another pass for the Eagles again. And that may be true, but really?
It's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, how far left you can go on one thing and how far right you can go on a... You said
I'm
it exactly.
I'm straddling the fence.
People are saying, you know, give the keys to Jalen Hurts, and we entertained the thought yesterday, and rightfully so, because it's something, an option you have to keep open, of trading him. Of, hey, here's his highest value. Hey, you have a contract that you can't get rid of anytime soon.
Both guys are on the table.
Maybe you got to ride it out. Yeah.
Like, to me, you have to explore any and all options here because, and you need to think long and hard before the NFL offseason comes about if you're willing to risk it all for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. After nine quarters of football, that's what you're ready to say right now.
Yeah,
now
I heard somebody yesterday say that he'll never throw another pass for the Eagles again, Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. You have national pundits calling him a crybaby.
Yeah, and I'm going, what? Because of one bad year?
Dan Orlovsky said that.
He said for repairing Wentz, he doesn't think he can play here again. Which, I'm shocked by all this talk.
I am too. And especially for Orlovsky to say that. Yeah. I mean, has it gotten to the depths of you just... Look, I'll go back to the saving grace of Carson Wentz, to me, is going back to that, and this is weird, but going back to not only that pass against Washington that we just celebrated a one-year anniversary, but how different he looked.
he just looked mobile. He looked thinner. He looked like an athlete. This year, did it seem like he lumbered this year? I mean, do you guys feel that way? Like he was kind of more of a lumber than a...
Why does he not get a grace period for sucking? Why are people so quick to throw all the blame on him? Like, he showed some things over the course of 4 years where we felt like we had the guy. And now, because of 1 year of collapsing on himself and playing awful football, like, you're just going to punt that away for a guy after 3 or 4 games?
Because we're a reactionary fan base. I mean, I was told yesterday on Twitter that he lost his job for the last 4 years, when in reality, he just got injured. Like,
I just don't know where people are coming from on this. I don't know the exact right answer, because this is one of the more complicated situations that a franchise could ever be presented with.
Yeah.
But this is no time for absolutes one way or the other.
Were people waiting to hate on him?
Yes.
Yes.
Really? I'm not that guy, like, I'm waiting to hate on somebody, but that's the feeling I kind of got yesterday. As I'm sitting home reading Twitter and all that stuff, I'm like, wow, people are really coming out with harsh feelings here, like you're saying, James.
It's so extreme. I don't think he's very relatable to a lot of people.
So
You mean a kid from North Dakota who...
Yeah, Hunter.
Hunts and...
Extremely religious, I think, is off-putting to some people.
Never said the word John.
Yeah, just is kind
of
like a...
You don't think that word ever came out of his mouth?
No.
I think people have a hard time relating to him.
I also think, though, in this city, that when you are the guy, you're always going to have that contingent of the fan base that never thinks you're as good as you are. Like, I've often said, if Mike Trout was in this city, somebody out there would find a problem with him.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's what fandom is, especially here. Yeah.
There's just always going to be that sect of the fan base that if you, especially when you're the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, go down the list of guys we've had here, and there have been a certain section of the fan base that's had a problem with them, no matter who they are.
Yeah, but that's what surprised me yesterday was, as I'm reading all this stuff and as I'm listening to national guys come out with these thoughts on Carson Wentz, it wasn't just reactionary to me. You know what I mean? Like, it was yesterday, it was, all right, this has been building up, I gotta let it go now. And I was wondering why. Like, why were you looking for a reason, or why were you just waiting to hate on Carson Wentz?
Well, part of it's the backup quarterback thing that this town loves. I don't know what it is, but the backup quarterback in this town is always the next thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's some kind of sickness this town has. It really is. And this is nothing against Jalen Hurts. You know I like Jalen Hurts. But for whatever reason, the backup quarterback is, you know, the meme where the guy's walking with his girlfriend, he's turned around, checking out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the backup quarterback
checking
is the
sexy. Checking out the butt of the other girl.
Yeah. And, you know, we have all these good to great quarterbacks that we're holding hands with, and we're always looking back at the backup like, ooh, but what about her?
Yeah. Do you remember the love affair in this city with Mark Sanchez after one Sunday
Mark
night
Sanchez,
game?
Mark Sanchez, Jeff Garcia, Kevin Cobb, you know, it
Bobby
goes
Hoying.
Bobby Hoying. Yeah, it's just Coy Detmer.
Coy
people
and
love.
Ty
Mike McMahon.
Yeah, like...
Never mind.
It just makes...
He went too far back.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't. And it's... I couldn't believe yesterday. It was the overwhelming feeling that I got was that, wow, people have just been waiting to explode on Carson Wentz.
It does feel like that.
I have a reason that I think people are going after him so much, and that is this. Don't forget, and I kind of brought it up a little bit yesterday, don't forget almost every story that was written about Carson Wentz for the first couple of years that he was here. Not the first couple of games, not the first couple of, you know, after he got drafted. I'm talking first couple, maybe even few years. There was not a story or a word uttered that painted this guy in a negative picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything we heard, oh, he's there at 5 a.m., never got to be on a test, you know, great. And look, we can't put Carson Wentz down for his competitiveness. I mean, even this year, where we talked about yesterday about the concussion, James, and we were saying, like, has it changed him both mentally and physically, whatever it may be. If I watched footage, even how bad he's been, of Carson Wentz this year, he still battles, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we can't question that. He kind of makes up, like, everything that Philly would want in a quarterback, where
absolutely.
He battles his ass off. He's got that strong arm. He's got that big play mentality. But for some reason, as soon as it went away for 8, 9, 10, 11 games, boom, this city just turned. Forget it. Done.
Yeah, I think the Josina Anderson leaks and the Joe Santoliquido story and all these things kind of almost inceptioned the fan base. Like, it planted the seed that maybe Carson was a problem or not beloved by all in that locker room. And maybe that adds a little fuel to the fire as well. But it does seem like it was a powder keg of people waiting to be like, yeah, I always hated that guy.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
And it's very strange to me because it's 4 years of a good track record with one great year.
Yeah.
And to just turn your back on a proven thing for the unknown is just incredibly risky to me.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we did our own unofficial poll yesterday of callers that we randomly asked, you know, who would you have as your starting quarterback for the opener next year? It was 10-8, Jalen Hurts over Carson Wentz, so it wasn't overwhelming.
And I feel like it got worse throughout the day. I feel like Hurts mania just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, and that's what I bring to the show today is, as I'm reading Twitter yesterday, I mean, people were just waiting to throw darts in his direction, it seems like. And then you see a national guy, and we'll play it later, you see a national guy come up and say, oh, he's a baby, needs out of Philly, you know. Like, really?
What, does he not deserve the right to move on from Doug and the coaching staff first? Because to me, a true franchise quarterback is way harder to come by than a good to great head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you can get somebody that can mesh with Carson Wentz, this is almost what I want everybody to do.
Don't you owe him that?
Yeah, like, James, if we could go back and just watch footage of Carson Wentz before this year, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking just from 2017. You can take the last four games of last year. You can take any game from last year. Yeah, did he have some bad games? No question. But not to the degree of this season.
No, he was awful. And this is not a defense of him this year, but it's one-fifth of his career. It's 20%.
Dude, it was less than a year ago, me and my friends went to the Eagles-Seattle playoff game, right? And we're tailgating and we're saying, man, I can't wait to see Carson Wentz perform in a playoff game.
Yeah.
How excited we were to see what he could do in a playoff game. Now it lasted, what, 8 plays before he got the concussion, so we never knew. So does that lend to it, too? You know, that all right, what has he done? Yeah, you can say all you want about 17, but he's never won a playoff game. He's never even played in a playoff game, you know, fully. He hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. When he does do this, it doesn't turn out well. Like, what causes this huge hate for Carson Wentz all of a sudden?
I don't know.
I never, ever thought. Now, here at the beginning of the season, when Shefty came on with us and said, you know what's amazing? Nobody's talking about Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And it was eye-opening, like, wow, why? Because people just think he's, yeah, that's a starting quarterback, whatever. That's your guy in Philadelphia, but there's nothing great, nothing bad to talk about. And it has taken a complete nosedive since that day that Shefty came on. I think it was before the season started, James, or maybe after the first game, when he just said, yeah, Carson Wentz, no, he's not a subject.
Like 3 or 4 games, because he had
okay, it was early on.
He had a little bit of struggle going on. I remember asking him, yeah. I don't understand. It's a very odd situation.
It is. So, when you can sit back today and just relax and take in what happened with the Eagles, Sunday was a perfect day, if you really think about it. You got to look at some young players. You got to look at a quarterback that, you don't know what he is. You're learning more as you go. You lost the game, which keeps you in the hunt for a really good draft pick.
Number 6 as of right now?
I think so, yeah. They battled. They played hard for
you. You get a game changer player at number 6.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. And look, I made the argument before, like, I don't care if 6, 10, whatever. You still can get the best at a particular position at one of those picks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
NFL is so wide ranging.
They won't take at number 6 who we want all one anyway. So what's the difference?
Yeah, right. And then you go back to, well, who are they going to take? Go ahead, Pat.
I think it's number 7, actually.
Is it okay?
And at number 7, I mean, you're getting some awesome offensive lineman from Oklahoma State.
No. You got to go out to like USC or
Cincinnati.
UCLA. Yeah. Or so Cincinnati's produced something nice for those Philadelphia Eagles, who was named to the Pro Bowl yesterday. Jason Kelce, Brandon Graham.
BG's first Pro Bowl.
How about that? And who's the third? Who am I missing?
Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox. Yeah, it just escaped my mind. The 6 for Fletcher Cox puts him right behind Reggie White, I think, for the Eagles on the all-time list of Pro Bowls. So congratulations to those 3 guys. But what I want to talk about today in 610-632-0975, let us know what you think. Why all the hate on Carson Wentz?
And we know he sucked this year.
It's not that simple, right?
Yeah, it's deeper than that. Don't just call up and say, oh, well, he wasn't good this year. That's why people hate him.
Yeah.
It is amazing, though. Assuming, like, there's too much of the fan base that assumes that because he was bad this year, he will be bad for the rest of his career.
Right.
Yeah, to me, he's owed a possible change in coaching staff first.
Could be. I mean, you know, people say, what is he owed? He was given $128 million and he sucks.
Yeah. I mean, what's harder? Do you agree with me that the franchise quarterback is harder to find than
absolutely.
A good to great coach?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Marcus Mariota's out there, James.
Yeah.
Only signed a one-year deal.
He got some playing time this weekend. But, yeah, sure. I think you have to marry. The marriage is broken. The marriage is pretty much done. And let's not forget, is it easier to find a head coach? Yeah, it's also easier to get rid of one. It's not as easy to get rid of Carson Wentz with that contract.
Yeah, and also, why the hell is Howie O'Roseman still here?
Yeah.
We're going to fix this.
I know. Round and round it goes. So why? Why all the hate on Carson Wentz? Were people just waiting for stuff? Because yesterday, it came down like an avalanche. As I'm reading Twitter yesterday, it was, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
people just literally started piling on yesterday. Or maybe you're on the other side. Maybe you're on the side of the thought that Jamie was saying about, no, that maybe it's only been 1 year, and maybe he is fixable, and maybe he is that guy for the first 2-3 years of all the stories we read about him, that he's this good guy, that he's a studier, that he's a hard worker, here every day at 5 a.m. in the film room, all of that stuff. Maybe that still is Carson Wentz. So what happened? What is the demise of Carson Wentz? Why are people hating on him so much? Or maybe you're the other way. Maybe you think he can be fixable. Can you guys remember off the top of your head, because I was trying yesterday, of an athlete that had a bad year and then bounced back to be, okay, there he is again.
Huh.
Because I know there's probably many, many out there, and I know throwing it at you that quickly is going to be hard to come up with. But I'm sure as the show goes on, we can think about multiple players who had a bad year that you're like, wow, what happened to him? And then all of a sudden they came back.
I mean, the first one that comes to mind immediately was Pat Burrell. It came back to the sense of he came back to being a productive player, but that 1 year he hit, what, 205?
He was getting applauded for fouling balls.
Yeah.
He was getting applauded just for foul tips, for fouling a ball back in the stands. That's how bad he was.
Yeah, he was just an immense block. That was probably the worst that I've seen in this city where he was able to come back and, you know, kind of be the player we at least thought he was going to be and hit 30 home runs and whatnot.
Yeah, hit 30 home runs. Yeah. No, rough. That's a good one. Pat Burrell's a real good one. And he was a high pick, like Carson Wentz, first overall pick. So there's got to be some guys out there, and we'll think about that as the day goes on. But we got to find out from you, why the hate on Carson Wentz? Like, what is it about? And it could be the simplest things. It could be the Woogies. You know, whatever it may be, there's got to be a reason that you were just waiting to pile on Carson Wentz. It came, and it's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So we got a good show.
There's no putting it back in the bag. It's out.
No, it is. I mean, it's totally out there. Totally out there.
People are stamping their mark on where they stand on the Wentz debates. And I hate to even say this, but I couldn't be more on the fence about what to do.
Totally. You had a phrase earlier, Jamie, that you said something like the right answer. If anyone thinks they really know the right answer, you're mistaken. Like, you can say what you want to try to do.
Sure.
Or what the Eagles should try to do.
But nobody knows.
No, you know. Here's
Carson Wentz could bounce back next year for all we know and be 2017 Carson Wentz. It could be in Indianapolis or New England with Frank Reich and Bill Belichick. But it's possible that it could happen. And also, Jalen Hurts could be, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
We don't know.
What's he got going on in there? Is he playing games?
Yeah. What are you doing there, guy?
Forgot to turn my mic off.
Yeah, that's important.
But
sometimes that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, just a tad bit. But going back to what you were talking about, I hate this organization for putting us in this situation. Like, I really believe that drafting Jalen Hurts had an effect on Carson Wentz this year. And I hate the fact that I'm sitting here not knowing really what to do and thinking the whole time that, like, this could have been avoided. This very easily could have been avoided. You know, maybe it couldn't have, of course. Maybe Carson Wentz would have sucked no matter what this year. But it drives me nuts thinking that this was avoidable and they put themselves in this situation.
It's so funny you say that, because to add like another layer, that pisses me off that I don't even want Carson Wentz if that's the case. Is it understandable? Yeah. But if he went to these depths because they drafted another quarterback, then to me, he's not my quarterback anyway. You follow what I'm saying? Like, well, I can't have a mentally unstable quarterback to the degree of just because they drafted somebody else, you're going to hit the toilet? Like, that's not good for me either. So this is like the circle of life that we go
through.
We're
in hell.
Yeah,
this is NFL hell.
I don't think it's necessarily, like, I think too many people are looking at it like, you're only doing this because you drafted Jalen Hurts. I think it's more than that. I think it's Jalen Hurts combined with the Nick Foles love combined with getting knocked out of the playoff game.
You said his name.
He's had it rough.
Oh, you're right. I did. Damn it.
Yeah.
Be better.
Put a dollar in the jar.
I will. I apologize for everybody out there. But I think it's a lot. I don't think it's just this one tiny thing. I think it's everything encompassing, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back. I think too many people are looking at it like, if this is really the issue, that you drafted Jalen Hurts, then you're weak mentally and all that. No, I think it's more than that. I think it's just everything he's dealt with being here, breaking his back, coming back, and all that that's led to this.
It could be. I mean, he has gone through hell during his time here, whether it be injury, whether it be the backup winning the Super Bowl, whether it be them drafting, whatever it is. But there's a lot of hate for Carson Wentz right now, so we want to hear from you. 610-632-0975. Either why you hate him, or on the other side, why you think maybe they should stick with him. We got a good show today. 8 o'clock, Avante Maddox will join us. The injured Avante Maddox, maybe he'll have some insight on what exactly went on not only on Sunday, but what the future might look like for the Eagles. At 8:30, Pat, we're starting you 5 minutes early today. At 8:30, we're going to have all the takes because it precedes 76ers head coach Doc Rivers will be joining us at 8:45. 610-632-0975. Chime in on what you think about Carson Wentz, why all the hate's being just poured down upon him. Let us know what you think there. I'm Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. Time at the Fanatic 621.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on,
what's your horny meter say to this one? This one isn't. This isn't a good one.
Outside, the snow is falling and friends are calling.
That's not Frank, is it?
No, Dean. Who is that?
I don't know. Who is that, Egan? Do you know?
Andy Williams.
Oh, Andy Williams. Love Andy Williams.
Andy Williams. He laid the pipe.
This must have been on the other. Andy Williams was a Mormon, I believe.
Even more so.
He laid it often.
Just giving you facts there.
You think
6 a.m.
It's easy to have seven wives?
I don't know. It's not easy having one sometimes for you guys. Me, it is. 6 a.m. hours brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Talking about tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be, not to get past today, but tomorrow's going to be a really fun show. It's our last day on air before we go away for holiday vacation. We already have some fun things that we're going to talk about. We're going to have our bad sweaters on. I haven't told you guys that yet, but tomorrow's bad sweater day.
I don't have one.
I got one for you. We have a closet full of bad sweaters.
I don't have one either.
I got one for you, too.
Do you really?
We have a closet
full. They sell for like decent money at thrift shops. Like,
do they really?
In years past, I've had to go to an ugly sweater party, and I've never had one. I've always gone out to like the thrift stores and stuff.
And they charge you a lot?
Well, not thrift stores, I shouldn't say. Like consignment shops.
Right.
You know, Reaper. Like 45, 50 bucks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, see,
and I'm like, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, no.
It defeats the purpose.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like, you're only supposed to kind of go if you have one, not go spend 60 bucks.
No, we always find bargains. We spend like 10 bucks on them. Yeah. Donna pulled one out
for
me.
Maybe I'm broken in the wrong place.
Yeah, Donna pulled one out for me last night. She's like, oh, here's one you can wear on Wednesday to work. And it's, well, you'll see it tomorrow. But yeah, tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. There might be mimosas involved. Jamie and I are still going back and forth on that. We're not sure. Egan doesn't drink, so he'll be the one in charge. So a lot of fun tomorrow. But today, as we're talking about Carson Wentz, man, it just, he got unloaded on yesterday. And I was thinking of the two of you when I was saying, I don't know, maybe there's a chance he stays off social media and he doesn't hear you know, a lot of the stuff that's said about him. I was praying for that yesterday for him because people were just coming down.
I'm sure he stays off of it, but he just knows it exists.
Yeah, he's got to know it exists. So that's what we want to talk about today. 610-632-0975. Why all the hate for Carson? Do you hate him? Were you just waiting for this? Or are you on his side? Do you have some excuses for him? Chris in Upper Darby, you start us off. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Chris?
Good morning, guys. Love the show, man. I could not wait to get back on here. Last night, I did some research, okay? And I came up with this. 26 completions, 71% completion percentage, 1,300 yards, QBR of 94, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's outside the pocket last year. By far, the best quarterback in the NFL since 2017 outside the pocket.
Yeah.
Tell me this.
And Chris, prior to this year, one of the least or most efficient guys in the red zone in the entire NFL. I just don't know if you punt on that right away.
So you tell me this. Did Doug break him on purpose?
I can't get my head around that. I know a lot of people think that. But, how does that benefit Doug?
Because I don't know why, but it's just like, why? Because he didn't put him outside the pocket at all. Listen, you knew Carson Wentz had a problem. So, know what you did? You compounded.
I can't deny
by
that.
Keeping him in the pocket, knowing that he wants to get outside of the pocket. You never gotten put him in a plate position where he can get into a rhythm to get out of this funk that he was in. Well, I look at this. You know what I say? You know what? Trade Carson Wentz. Get him to Indianapolis. Get him somewhere else. Because the Eagles don't deserve him. And I will tell you this. If you send him somewhere else, Jalen Hurts and Doug Peterson together will only be an 8-8, 9-17, like they've been with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is not a good coach, okay? And
all right, Chris, let me just stop you there for a second. So what you're saying basically is bite your nose to spite your face. You just said you gave reason why Carson Wentz could be good, and you're saying, let's do him a favor, get rid of him, and keep Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, and you'll have an 8-8 team. Well, why? I mean, if you believe Carson Wentz is okay, why wouldn't you just get rid of Doug Peterson and match him up with somebody else?
Because you know what? I think Carson Wentz out of here, man. I think he does. This is a marriage that's headed for divorce. And I don't think that, I mean, if we had like a Robert Kraft as an owner or something like that, or one of those top guys who could sit down with Carson and talk to him and get this thing nipped in the bud during the offseason. But I don't think Jeffrey Lurie, because listen, a lot of this stuff that's coming out, it's fluff from the organization, because you know what? You know what we're talking about right now? We're talking about how bad Carson Wentz is, and we're blaming him. But we're not talking about how bad the team still is. They're a horrible team.
I mean, think about this, Chris. You could pick at number 7 in the draft this year and go any number of 6 directions.
Yeah.
That right there tells you how bad this roster is. Howie Roseman's inability to draft well over the last 3 years is biting this team in the ass at a time when they needed cheap financial, a cheap financial influx of youth.
Yeah.
It's absolutely killing them. Once you get to franchise quarterback money stage of your salary cap, you need youth. You need cheap players, and they don't really have a lot.
And it was funny, when Pat was making the argument last week about the Eagles need to lose because of draft pick number 5, now all you did was go up to number 10 or whatever, one of the reasons I was arguing against him, not that the Eagles winning is end-all be-all, but at 5 or at 10, you could still get the best at that position, and it's a position of need for the Eagles. Like, look, you could get the best offensive lineman at number 10, whether you specify it as left tackle, right tackle, whatever it may be. You can get, if not one of the best wide receivers in this draft, and you can go down the board, cornerback, safeties, whatever it may be. But you're right, Jane. Linebacker. This team needs pretty much everything.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts is still going to see these same issues next year. He may be a Band-Aid on them right now because he's seeing the field better, because he has a better pocket awareness, whatever it may be. But the flaws in this roster are still going to be there next year.
Yeah.
And it could actually be worse because you have to find a way to shed money.
Yes, exactly. As bad as you are, you still have to trim the fat. And that's scary. And I heard something yesterday. I think it was here, some a caller here on, I think it was Anthony's show saying that, yeah, well, Quez Watkins, he's Jalen's boy, so that's why he's getting playing time now. And I'm like, oh my God, if that's a true case, if that's a true story, what the hell is Doug Peterson doing?
I can't believe that.
Like, why all of a sudden is Quez Watkins getting time? Like, why? I know J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, that ship has come and gone. But who's running the asylum here? The more and more I hear about Doug Peterson, what Jason Peters did to him earlier this year, the Travis Fulgham situation, he doesn't practice hard, he doesn't do this, he might not do that. Okay, the guy catches. You, as a coach, you teach a guy to practice harder. Because he brings it in games. I don't understand who's running the asylum here, and I don't know if Doug Peterson has his hand on everything the way he should. Quaz in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Quaz?
What's up, fellas? Hey, real quick question. Can y'all hear me clearly on speaker?
We got you,
Quaz.
Good deal. Because last night I was laying in bed, and then I looked up at the ceiling, and I seen a series of moves that were...
Chess pieces?
I call it the Eagles Gambit.
That was a good show, though, wasn't it, Quaz?
Oh, my God, that was great. That should be up for something this year.
Quaz, you didn't take some funny pills before you went to bed, did you, buddy?
Hey, Bob, you know I go to bed not sober every night. Every night. But how it starts is we got to swap out queens first. We got to swap queens, okay? All right, I'm going to give you all of these series of moves, but y'all got to help me out first. Yesterday, I was talking about this one guy who's in the scouting department, a guy that came from Cleveland. What's his name and what's his quick bio?
Andrew Berry?
No.
Dorsey? John Dorsey.
I'm not trying to give anybody any type of work or anything.
No, John Dorsey originally started with the Packers. Then he moved on to the Chiefs with Andy Reid. I think his first year there was the Mahomes draft year, although people say that was Reid. He did draft Kareem Hunt. He's a guy that will take a chance on some troubled prospects with a sketchy history in their past. But if they have the high upside, and then he moved on to Cleveland where he helped them draft, you know, some of the guys there, brought Kareem Hunt back last year. A lot of people said he was meddlesome with the roster, kind of annoyed a lot of the players, and meddled a little too much, and then he was done.
Where do he fall in line at, above or below Andy Weidel?
That's a good question.
Parallel, maybe, something like that.
Probably in Howie's trust tree of, you know, the two or three guys. He's probably right there.
Okay. I just need to know that. And then last thing I need to know before I reveal my plan. Bob, you was talking about a surf and turf yesterday. Can you please explain to me the execution on this filet mignon crab meat? I just need the execution on it.
So it's like when you go out to a restaurant, you can order something Oscar, like veal Oscar, steak, and the Oscar is the crab on top. So what I do is I do a filet mignon. I get crab meat, lump crab meat. I pick it through, and then I saute it with just a little butter, maybe a little bit of Old Bay seasoning, and then it goes on top of the filet mignon with a couple pieces of asparagus and a hollandaise sauce.
Oh, you are the man!
Yeah, you know, we don't mess around the Cooney house, Quaz.
Okay, I love that.
All right, real quick, what's your point? I'm giving you way too much time here, Quaz.
Way too much time. Okay. All right, no problem. First thing you got to do is you got to fire Schwartz, and then you hire Anthony Lynn.
He'll probably be leaving LA, that's for sure.
Right. What you have to do is you got to reinstore Doug. Doug has got to be on the panel of looking for new coaches. His problem is clear what his problem is. But you do have to sacrifice your Bishop and your Knight. You got to get rid of Dave Fitz. You got to get rid of Jeff Stoutland. I would bring in, in my opinion, I would bring in Trey Thomas as my offensive line coach. I would reconsider Dan Orlovsky as my quarterback whisperer, but I need an offensive coordinator in here, and what I'm doing is promoting Doug. I don't need him being a co-head coach anymore. Doug needs to be the whole head coach. Let him do his job, get him back on the team so I can get my quarterback right. Right now, if he's feeling that he's not on the end, then he's just going to continue to make moves as if he's ready for his next job. I want to keep my Super Bowl head coach, and then I want to give him three new coaches to work with, and then I would look at Doug and I say, now, Doug, show me what you can do. But right now, he needs a buffer between play calling and being the guy who designed the plays, and he needs to get to coaching the whole team. If he coached the whole team, I think he could do better. But if he decides not to give up play calling, then it's checkmate. His ass is out of here.
All right, Quaz, thanks so much. Have a great holiday if we don't talk to you, buddy. A lot of things on Quaz's plate that he wants
not
to get
a whole
going
lot
here.
I disagree with. I mean, you could pretty much blow up everybody, for all I'm concerned.
Yeah, his idea of bringing Doug back but having coordinators around him. The reason that ship has sailed with me, James, didn't they do that last year, this year? Like, haven't they been trying to do that over and over again?
All they got rid of was Mike Groh, really, right?
Well, yes, I should. So they got rid of Groh. They also got, no, there's two guys that went last year, right?
Yeah, but they're inconsequential.
And then you bring in Marty Morningweg, and you bring in Scangarello, and you bring in, like, all these people that are overlooking the offense.
There's so many things you can try. Like, to me, I go, Doug, all right, you're giving up the play calling. If we're sticking with Carson Wentz, you're either gone or you're here. If you're here, you're giving up play calling. You can get rid of Jim Schwartz. You can get rid of Doug Peterson, keep Carson Wentz. You can keep Doug Peterson and keep Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of options to try before just getting rid of Carson. Because, you know, that's not easy.
No, it's not.
Like, there's $34 million that you're going to be paying out if you get rid of him. Even if you get a first-round pick in return, you're not, like, you're still in cap hell.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy situation. So to me, if it's not easy and you still might believe in the guy, why not try every other option before you get there?
Yeah, I agree with you. And my thought was, and I bring this up every time people want to bring up trades. Oh, the Sixers should trade this. Eagles should trade that.
Takes two.
Imagine being the other GM. So here's what you got to think about. Everybody that says trade Carson Wentz, be the GM of the other team. Walk in into your owner and say, hey. Can I have $34 million for this guy that was absolutely horrible this year? I mean, think about that. Could you be that guy that goes to your boss and asks for that? It's not an easy situation
at all.
Noah in Philadelphia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Noah.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
What's up?
How are
What's
you?
Up, Noah?
Good. So I'm going to get right to the point. I think all this hate on Carson Wentz is strictly just coming from Jalen Hurts' play.
You don't think there was anything more to it?
I mean, if Jalen Hurts was playing terrible, I mean, I don't really think people will be so hard on Wentz right now because they wouldn't have any reason to besides, you know, he had a bad season and next season will come. But now Hurts is, people think we can still make the playoffs. He's not turning the ball over. No, he's getting everyone involved and he looks good right now in this offense.
Yeah, you might be right. I just feel like there's something. I feel like a lot of people have always kind of been secretly hating on Wentz, and now it's just like, well, he was awful this year, so get him out of town. And it's like, it just makes me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people. I'm definitely guilty of that. I was up and down once all year, and once Hurts came in, I was happy as ever.
Sure, it's really fun, and Wentz has been awful, so I get that. But it just seems quick to kick him to the curb.
Yeah, you can definitely say that. But then at the same time, as you know, I've been that Super Bowl run with Carson Wentz and all those good years. You want him to have success. So at this point, you don't mind. Like I know personally, I don't mind trading him to Indianapolis, New England, San Francisco, somewhere like that. Go let him go and win a Super Bowl. You know. And we can ride it out with Hurts, and people who hate on him will love that. But then, you know, you got some real fans. Not, I shouldn't say real fans. You got people who will understand that and be happy for Wentz. And all this hate, I think, is just strictly coming from the great play of Jalen Hurts. I mean, if you look at the numbers, he's horrible. Like, Wentz is horrible. All the turnovers, fumbles, you know, losing to the Bengals, close games to the Steelers, Ravens. And, you know, it's a sin, but it's part of the business. And I think my quarterback going forward has to be Jalen Hurts. But at the same time, I want to see success for Carson Wentz.
Thanks, Noah. Appreciate the call. That's amazing.
That was big. A lot of people wouldn't want to see success for him if he leaves here.
We heard it a lot yesterday, too, and we've heard it before. Like, yeah, let him go to Indianapolis. Like, people want him, as much as they're hating on his play, they want him to succeed. Like, yeah, let him go. Like, Noah just said it. Let him go to Indianapolis, where Frank Reich is and where he had his success. Or San Francisco. Yeah, let him win his Super Bowl. wait, what? Yeah. I'm not getting rid of a guy to go win a Super Bowl elsewhere.
Yeah, and
you know, like that's defeating the purpose. But that is the gambit of the feelings that are going on here. It's like love and hate all in the same thing. You know, like Noah said, he liked Carson Wentz. This year he played like crap. Now he hates him because Jalen Hurts has come in and played well. So get rid of him. Who cares? Get rid of him.
Yeah, that's
like, it's wow.
Yeah.
It's like people are going to get the bends from jumping into these waters of hate so quickly.
People are just trying to untwist their brains. Because I don't think anybody thought a year ago we were going to be here.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a lot quickly. And I think people are just trying to make sense of it. And as we've said, there is no clear answer. You know, if you think, oh, just get rid of Carson Wentz and go with Hurts is 100% the right answer... Yeah, you may believe that. That doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. The NFL might get tape on Jalen Hurts next year and see things and adjust. I mean, we talked about Lamar Jackson yesterday. He's certainly no MVP of the league this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is an ever-evolving league. And to even four games, even if he plays great these next two, to just hand the keys over to the kingdom... That's so risky to me.
So this question just popped into my head as you were saying that, Jamie. And Egan, I want you to reply on this too. I think me and you may have the same answer here. There are questions abound of what you're supposed to do, and there are no definitive answers. But what is, in your mind, and my mind, I have one, I think we might be the same. What is the one thing that is a must this offseason?
Firing Howie Roseman.
Okay, ours isn't the same. Mine is that Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson cannot coexist.
I agree.
Okay. But you first on your list, without a doubt, you need to fire
Howie
Roseman.
I think
Howie
that's
Roseman.
The biggest problem.
What do you got, Egan?
Yeah, firing Howie Roseman.
Is it really?
It's number one, number two, number three, number four, number five.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Yeah,
and I would put Doug and Carson separating. Maybe is number two or three.
Yeah.
The impact that Howie Roseman has had on this team is going to haunt this team well past when Carson Wentz is here, when Carson Wentz is gone, when Doug Peterson is gone. And it will continue as he's here. Looking at the draft history that they've had, the players that they've passed on, it's not even close.
Yeah, and it makes it worse that they've tried to supplement Wentz with, you know, Dillard. Yeah. And Driscoll and, you know,
Arthego Whiteside,
Rager, Dallas Goedert, Sanders.
Yeah,
they've tried.
They've acknowledged the position.
They just can't address talent.
And that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
So why?
Like I'd rather have people that can't address the position and can address talent than the other way around.
Why are we going to repeat this?
You know,
until you fix that, what's the point?
No, I hear you.
You know, like...
Again, there could be 10 answers that are suffice. You know, it could work. And one of the things I forgot to bring up, and we'll get to all the callers after the break, is that Egan and I were talking about this in the hallway going down to get coffee earlier, and I meant to bring it up as our little side topic today. So we were talking about Christmas movies, all these different things, and Egan brought up to me, yeah, there's a isn't there a couple like he called it chick flicks. It could be movies maybe that you're embarrassed to say that you love.
Oh yeah, I got one.
But like,
I
especially
threw on the Griswolds last night, by the way.
Did you? I haven't seen it. I gotta plug it up. But what's a movie now? Egan and I have number one, but what's a movie that, you know, if you're a guy, maybe it's a so-called chick flick, but that you like secretly like, and you know, you're not too embarrassed to say about it. Egan and I, our number one is The Notebook.
I've never seen that.
I'll stop.
Like, it's a great movie.
What do you mean?
I'm not even embarrassed to say. It's definitely, it's a chick flick, right, Pat?
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
It might be the definition of a chick flick.
It might be chick flick personified.
I mean, mine is a Christmas movie and a chick flick.
See, there's a lot of good ones at. So when you bring us your, it's Carson Wentz heavy today, and what's going on with this organization. When you bring us that, also bring us a chick flick that maybe it's a little embarrassing that you like it, but you're not too afraid to admit it. 610-632-0975. Morning show here at the Fanatic. I'm Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. Time here at the Fanatic, 651.
97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
You okay? You need a cigarette? By the way, we
pay the respect it deserves, will you, please?
All right. Bruce and sports writers in Philadelphia, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's a narrative that hasn't.
That's why I immediately turned it down.
Yeah, really. What's up with that, Egan?
We have a little in-house issue we needed to take care of.
We do. Oh, you mean besides the construction?
Yeah, you don't get to sit here and choose the music when after what you did to Jamie Lynch.
I just noticed something. I've been going on an unfollowing purge.
Yeah, and we're going to have fun with that tomorrow.
And cleaning up the timeline a little bit.
Yeah.
And I come across Bob Cooney 76.
Yeah.
I've been unfollowed. You don't follow me anymore, Bob. What's up with that?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Can Twitter go on and do that? You know me. I'm not like this. Are you serious that I...
Yeah, you don't follow me. What's up? Are you going to block me next?
Wow.
I'm not even sure what a tweet is, but it wasn't a good tweet.
That's messed up.
I mean, it's a little awkward in here, Pat. I'm trying.
Yeah, I feel it.
I'm trying to work with the guy.
Yeah, Mr. Positivity over here, and turns out he's stabbing you in the back.
Yeah.
The tension is palpable.
When's he going to block me?
What's up, Brutus?
A2 Brutus?
There it is. And you want to sit here and hear Santa Claus coming to town by Springsteen? You think you deserve that after what you pulled?
Yeah.
I do. I feel like Alshon Jeffrey of the room.
And now you're sitting
horrible.
Here, you're claiming ignorance.
I followed you. I am claiming ignorance.
Yeah, you're going to...
Could they have... And I'm being serious about
Josie
this.
And Anderson next?
Can they go on there and have you on... Because I know I had a lot of followers taken away recently.
Are you referring to the algorithm?
Yeah.
Are we complaining about the Twitter algorithm?
Uh-huh.
All right, there it is. Bob Cooney 76 follows you.
Yeah, but it's too late.
I don't think it's too late.
It's a pity follow.
Yeah.
He got peer pressured into it. Yeah. He didn't want to do it.
I don't think so, no. I don't know how that happened.
The awkwardness is palpable in here.
I don't know how we continue to do a show for the next 3 hours.
Thanks God there's plexiglasses here.
Should I go in the other room and be with Egan for the rest
of the show? No, we're going to have to ask Avante Maddox when he joins us at 8 what he would do if Dallas Goedert unfollowed him. Or he found that out.
The Nerf gun fight would really ramp up that week.
We're going to have to ask him about his guilty pleasure movie also.
Do you think Doc Rivers unfollowed Paul George?
Yes.
I would have.
Yeah. That's a nice little battle that he has going with him.
Oh, it's adorable, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty cool. And it gives you a lot of insight into Doc Rivers, who I think is the perfect fit for the 76ers.
And when will we talk to Doc Rivers?
At 8:45 today, Doc Rivers, head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, will be joining us. 8 o'clock, Avante Maddox. We're talking all Eagles all day today. And a reminder, tonight, Jamie, this is special. Tonight, even though you're not really talking to me anymore.
I would know that if I followed you on Twitter. But I
know.
Followed you.
To help kick off the 2020-2021 Sixers season, there's going to be a special Beers with Bob tonight. That's right. It's a Sixers season preview tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. with me, Devon Givens, and D. Lynam, all brought to you by FanDuel. So we're going to have fun with that tonight. Devon, D, and I will be talking all about Sixer season starts tomorrow. You pumped, James?
Yeah, I can't wait. Even though I hate the Wizards and Russell Westbrook, it's a kind of an exciting first game coming to town. Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, they got a little bit of star power, and it's going to be fun to see what this team's got.
Yeah, I am really... Tomorrow's... I keep saying this to you on the break. I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't wait. Tomorrow's our last day of work for a little bit because we get a little Christmas vacation. But then we got the Sixers tomorrow night. That's
it's
the key. Oh, 7
I've
o'clock tomorrow night.
I've talked to my cousin about the holiday break happy hour. Transition that right into dinner and the Sixers. And boom,
wow.
That's a lovely day right there.
So your cousin is like 10 houses from you?
Yeah.
Now in your new palatial?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's been a lot of time spent at cousin's house.
Yeah, they're super serious about the spread.
Right.
And so are we.
Right.
So we only hang out outdoors. So he got one of those new tabletop fire tables.
Yeah, a buddy of mine has that too.
Yeah, that's a game changer.
Can you view the TV from outside? And is a
Yeah, he's got a wireless thing we just bring out on the porch.
Pat, do you see how the rich live? This is pretty cool, huh? They go to each other's house. They stay outside because, they have fire tables. And they can see the 85-inch plasma TV or whatever from the...
It must
be nice.
When Jamie had COVID, I tried to bring him a nice lasagna, and they wouldn't let me in the cul-de-sac.
Oh, it's gated.
The security guard wouldn't let me in.
Oh, not even close. I had to leave mine
at
the gate.
Said, Mr. Lynch is not taking visitors at the moment.
Yeah.
I had to eat it all by myself.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean...
Lasagna. telling you.
It must be nice. It must be nice to spend your first holiday in the mansion. Yeah. All I did was ask for pictures of the place, and I still haven't seen it. Because you know we're not getting the invite.
I think we found out why Bob unfollowed Jamie. He's bitter about that lifestyle.
Bitter. Bitter's a good word. It seems to be how people feel about Carson Wentz today. And if you don't, what's the reason you don't? Does he deserve another chance? Are you done with them? Where is it? Everybody's all over the place, including the three of us. Like, there, as Jamie said, you can make the argument for anything, but there really is no set solution. My only number one on my list would be for this offseason is separating Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. I don't think they work together. If you make the decision to keep Carson, I think Doug's got the, you know, you might have to let Doug go or vice versa. I think that's one thing. Jamie and Pat both say no. Top of the list is Howie Roseman has to go. So,
but that's not going to happen. And that makes
me
sad.
And that might be the only reason it's not at the top of my list, Jamie.
Is it's not the most realistic.
Because I don't think it's going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. Yeah. I feel it in my plums.
We haven't used that since yesterday. No, I agree with you. And then the other thing we're asking you is, what's your guilty pleasure movie? Because, Pat, I just remembered why it came up during the break. And, Jamie,
I was wondering if you were hiding the reason why it brought up.
I literally forgot until the last break.
I don't even know the movie.
So what happened was, last night, sitting at home, and Donna's flicking through the channels, right? So it's me, Donna, and Jenna, and the boyfriend. All right, the boyfriend, who already put a damper on the day that I already told you.
Yeah, he ruined your little...
Jenna and I have a tradition that the two of us go shopping for Donna. I get my stuff. We usually go Christmas Eve, but we went yesterday. And as we're about to leave, the father-daughter moment, she says, oh, yeah, we have to pick up Shane.
Come on, Jenna.
And I was like, ah. It literally, you'll feel this many times with Skylar, but you could feel a piece of my heart just break off and go down to my toes and whatever. Sad. So that was, but last night as we're sitting there and Donna's going through the channels, Jamie, trying to find, oh, there's nothing on. At the same time, Jenna and Shane. Oh wait, 27 Dresses.
What? What's 27 Dresses?
27 Dresses. Catherine Heigl, is that her name?
Yeah,
Catherine Heigl. Yeah. So she is a bridesmaid in like 27 different weddings.
Oh.
Blah blah blah. But.
And you aren't going to believe this, but she wants to be the bride.
Yeah.
Shane was pumped.
Shane shouted, 27 Dresses! Like, stop, this is what we need.
Wait, did you watch it?
I wish I could have seen the reaction on my face, because apparently it was priceless, because everybody was laughing so much so that Shane finally said, okay, guys, it wasn't that funny. And we're like, yeah, Shane, it was funny.
Wait,
so,
did you watch the movie?
No, we did not.
I was going to say, is it
I have seen...
To warrant that reaction?
I have seen it before. It's been one of those movies that's on and you're stuck and you watch it. It's not a go-to. Like, if it's on, I'm not stopping on it. I said that my guilty pleasure, the maybe chick flick that I like is the same as Egan's number one, is The Notebook.
Yours is actually a Christmas movie.
Which one?
I don't have a lot of these, but Love Actually?
No, I never saw it.
Really?
Yeah, who's in it?
It's big cast. It's like Hugh Grant, Liam Neeson,
I've never seen Love Actually.
Alan Rickman, there's a bunch.
Egan, is this?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Really? Colin Firth?
I'm a man.
So it's a notebook.
I'm a man.
Huh? Nothing?
Nothing, no.
Pretty solid.
Is it a chick flick?
Yeah.
Because you got caught in ultimate chick flick movieism yesterday when
she
you said Addy was...
Hallmark Channel.
Oh my God, I can't stand the Hallmark Channel.
And because the Steelers-Bengals game was absolutely terrible, so she like changed the channel, and I couldn't even fight her on it because I had no desire to watch it anymore. And she put on Hallmark Channel, and I'm not too familiar with Hallmark Channel.
Oh, God,
and it took me like 3 minutes where I was like, what the hell is this?
They had the same movie every single time.
Yeah, it was like this...
boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. It's the same thing every time.
Toy drive for the town. And then
it's always a small town.
Yeah.
It's Tinseltown, USA.
And they were like doing the lovey-dovey thing at the ice sculpture. And it was like, I never thought I could have carved an ice angel. And she's like, well, I had a great teacher. And they do like the horny look at each other.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was like, can you please? She was like, I just want mindless TV that's happy. And I was like, okay, but this is horrible.
Shark Tank wasn't on?
Yeah, usually that's our go-to.
MSNBC, it's on all the time.
I don't.
Hallmark.
I got to tell you, I hate to be that guy that says, oh, I hate this. Hallmark Channel, when I see it on, I cringe.
Yeah, it was cringe-worthy. But you'll get some points if you say, hey, Donna, you want to watch Love Actually? It's a Christmas movie and a chick flick and pretty entertaining.
All right, how about a non-Christmas chick flick that you can admit that, all right, I will stop and I'll watch it when you see it?
Is Dirty Dancing a chick flick?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
I guess so.
I'll watch Dirty Dancing.
I hate that movie. I hate that movie with a passion.
Nobody puts Bobby in a corner.
It's about a header ass.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I'm always amazed at the 80s that...
I got away with a lot of stuff back then.
A movie about a peder ass.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick Swayze is a creep.
I hate that movie so much that if Donna's mad at me, if she sees it on, she'll just put it on just to piss me off.
That's not right, Donna.
Well, you come back with Love Actually, and you guys will have a lovely evening.
We'll have to check it out. All right. Ralph in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, buddies. How you all doing?
How you doing, bud?
Just thinking about the dynamic of this whole thing with the Eagles. It's like, you know, as a fan, we were all standing on the bow of the Titanic screaming at them, hey, it's dark. There's icebergs out here. Slow the ship down. And Howie just never slowed it down. And now we're all sitting here going, well, what are we going to do? Well, hey, guess what, guys? The ship is sinking. You know, it's time to jump ship.
We're taking on water, Ralph.
Yeah, I hear you. And one of the things that is really bothering me is that I'm reading that a lot of players are privately lobbying Jeffrey Lurie to keep Doug Peterson. And if that's the case, then they've hitched their wagon to Hurts, because everybody knows, and you said it, it's just a fact, Peterson and Wentz cannot get along. You know, so that means, you know, it looks like Hurts, and that's a little scary because I think that's giving up on Carson too early. Then on the other hand, you read that, you know, well, maybe Doug Peterson's trying to get out of town because he went ahead. He wanted to move on Jalen Hurts 2 weeks earlier, and he was overruled by Howie and Lurie.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's cohesion within the NovaCare complex. It seems like everybody's pulling a different direction, and the results are not shocking when you realize that.
Well, it's like there is no one quick fix, you know. Inescapable fact, Peterson and Wentz will not coexist.
So is that your first move, Ralph? Getting rid of the two of them, separating the two of them?
Well, I don't think you have a choice at this point.
Okay.
And, you know, again, I whether it's their stubbornness between the two of them, it doesn't really matter. But up at the top, I still got to put this whole thing on Howie.
Okay, so that's your number one, like Egan and Jamie. Do you have a pleasure movie that maybe you're not real proud of, Ralph?
Well, anytime I see a chick flick, I usually try to block the name out of it forever in my mind.
You're a bigger man than the rest of us, that's for sure. Howie's at the top of the list now. It looks like, you know, among you two and Ralph, Howie's the top of the list.
I would hope he's on the top of most people's list.
Wow. It's a huge move. I guess what's blocking me from saying that, as I said, I don't think it's going to be done.
I don't think it's going to be either, but I think it's what needs to be done.
Howie's on the naughty list.
Yeah, I mean, you, especially now, if you're going to be eating $34 million in quarterback salary, which is nearly 20% of your cap, you have to hit on the draft. Especially if you're number 6, 7, whatever, you have to get difference makers in the first probably 3 rounds. Like, yeah. you need
starters.
Guaranteed 2 starters out of your first 3 rounds next year.
Yeah,
and probably three.
What level of faith do you have in that
about
happening?
6%.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, this guy was never good at evaluating talent, but you said, okay, at least he's really good with the cap. Look where they are with the cap.
Yeah, I don't know what he does well anymore.
It's gotten to the point where, like, does he have pictures on Jeffrey Lurie? I mean, like, it must be, because he's got them in a cap hell that is going to be a Herculean effort to get them out of. He might be able to do it.
You know, you make a good point, Pat, without even, like, trying to make it there real quick. You had Joe Douglas in here before, right? to me, that was your that was your talent guy. That was your draft picker. Howie was there, yes, but I didn't think everything fell on Howie. Now you're right. Joe Douglas isn't there. It seems like Howie's the one making the calls, and then boom. Now your salary cap situation is horrible. Is it a case where Howie got too much unloaded on him and now he's failing everywhere? You know, maybe before...
Unloaded on him how?
Maybe before he was just the salary cap guy, because you did have Joe Douglas in here. You didn't hear that Howie was the draft guy. Yeah, he was the GM, but he was. We always thought he's the money man. He's the Joe Banner from before. He's the numbers cruncher. Is it a case when Joe Douglas left, Howie got, you know, all right, here I am, 2017. I was the GM then. I'm also going to make the calls on the draft pick. And then, boom, everything is on his plate, and now... Drafts are horrible, and the salary cap's in the situation it's in?
I mean, I don't know. He always had those Andrew Berry types and, you know, guys that were the hot up-and-comers, and Andrew Berry had a good offseason in Cleveland. So I don't want to say he's alone, but maybe he inherited. Maybe he took on more than he could chew.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he could chew in the first place when it came to the draft. I think he can trade well. Previously, I thought he handled the cap well, but it appears we're in hell. He just needs somebody to run his drafts. And I'm telling you, they needed a degenerate college football gambler in that room. Just have one guy that bets every game every weekend, and he'll draft better. Guaranteed.
I don't doubt you. And have five college teams' names in front of you.
Yeah.
And then say, give me a position. And if Howie says offensive lineman, for that, I'll go to Alabama, and you're choosing this one.
We're going to the SEC, Howie, and here's our top two guys.
Oh, wide receiver, LSU, here you go. Here's your pick.
Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, don't overthink this.
I think you need to be in that room.
Put me in
that. I want you in that room.
Hey, if I was in that room last year, I would have had Justin Jefferson, Jeremy Chinn, and Jalen Hurts as my first three picks.
Yeah. Really? You would have taken Hurts with the third,
I wanted Hurts in the third. I thought second was early, but I thought third was where he had to go.
I'll back Jamie up on that. He was saying that for a while.
Yeah. So I knew he said the other ones.
Therefore, ergo, I'm better than Howie Roseman. No question. No big deal.
They think there's a lot. We have six callers
Eagles
on the line,
Twitter
I think.
Is better than Howie Roseman. I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah, the construction workers around here, Bon in the back. Totally. I mean, like, everybody
it's
is basically...
It's a low bar.
He is so really much is. Better than Howie Roseman. I even followed him on Twitter.
Wow.
Pete in Princeton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pete?
Morning, guys. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Same to you too, buddy.
Before we get started. I love your show. So I want to go a little deeper, I guess. And I want to go before Carson and, let's say, 2 years in the future. So let me go back first.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as an Eagle fan, and I could put myself in that category, I treated Donovan McNabb unfairly. He was booed at the draft, and he's been basically mocked in this town for not getting the job done. His regular seasons were very good, but he's been mocked for not getting the job done. But overall, I think Philadelphia fans kind of took a hit for how we treated this guy, the best quarterback in the history of our team. Okay, so I think as a fan base, we've decided when we get the next guy, we're not doing that. And I think we've kind of gone a little bit overboard because nobody wants to talk about Donovan McNabb's first 14 games of a season. How much more mileage are we going to give this guy for 14 games in a regular season, no playoff wins, losing record? But here's my point. We're overcompensating as Eagle fans because guess what? Those who like Donovan don't like Carson because Donovan has done more than Carson and gets treated like crap. So my point is, if you follow the narrative along, that's the case. The second thing I'd like to say, I listen to your show all day, guys. You know I call in every show. It's not till 4 o'clock that I get a player on the station. I get all non-players. No offense, but you guys didn't play the game. And you notice, not one of those people thinks we should get rid of Carson Wentz until Westbrook comes on at 4 o'clock. All the players that you hear from, Torrey Smith, Tom Herriman, all these guys who I would think talk to more people in the locker room than anyone on the station, again, no offense, and myself, they seem to want Hurts. So every player...
But I saw Torrey Smith and Herriman and other guys say that, you know, Carson can be fixed.
I'm not saying that. But what I'm trying to say is, I think our treatment of Donovan, and by the way, what he's done post playing career, probably all warranted, of course. But what I'm saying is, and now let's go 2 years in the future. don't you think everyone's saying about Hurts, let's wait and see. Let's not anoint him. That's how I feel. Let's not anoint him the number one quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I don't think, and maybe because Carson's first couple years have kind of maybe didn't do that to us, I don't think we took a wait and see with Carson. It was, we were on that hill. We stayed there. We're still staying there. And we're not coming off. If you guys forget Pat, forget, and I know we can't do that. If you had your pick, who's the quarterback of the Eagles for the next 10 years? Every single person on this station that's not a player wants Carson Wentz.
That's not even close to being true, Pete. No offense. I don't think everybody here is in love with the Carson Wentz. You got to go Carson Wentz moving forward. No, we're putting that question out there. Yeah, has Westbrook come out and said, I would go forward with Jalen Hurts? Okay, that's his opinion. I don't think any of us have said no to Hurts, yes to Wentz, or vice versa. I think we're putting everything out there.
I don't know what the answer is.
No.
I feel like an idiot saying that. But I think if you're speaking in absolutes right now, it's... You don't really know either. You know what I mean? Like, I think former players probably saw what I saw on Sunday when he made that a one-score game. He won a lot of that locker room over.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And I don't think it took much because Carson was so bad this year. And I think former players understand that when it's that position, it's not like this is a running back battle where Miles Sanders edged out Jordan Howard for the, you know, the clear role. This is the quarterback. This
right.
is the
yeah.
the face and the direction of the franchise. When that gets split and the locker room is split on that, it's over. You know what I mean? It's already too late.
And
so I think a lot of former players just go, all right, well, you might as well go with Hurts now because that locker room's gone. Carson isn't going to get a lot of those guys back now.
Yeah, no question about
it. It's also way easier to say right now, go with Jalen Hurts than Carson Wentz.
Sure it is.
Yeah, he's played unbelievable in two games.
Yeah, yeah, and as former
two
players,
games.
Jalen Hurts has made other players look better, and that's what you're looking for
Absolutely.
As a former player. So 610-632-0975, chime in on this. Where are you as far as the quarterback situation, as far as the whole organizational situation, and do you have a guilty pleasure movie? We have Avante Maddox joining us at 8. Doc Rivers, coach of the 76ers, joining us at 8:45. Morning show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Time of here is 7:22.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So, best dressed man of the day just walked in, right, James?
Yeah, it's a sweet Christmas Star Wars blazer.
Our boss, Chuck D'Amico, comes walking in. He's got a Merry Christmas Kiss t-shirt on.
Yeah, solid.
And then he has a red and green Star Wars Christmas sport jacket.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
This shows you. Now, I already told you, tomorrow, I'll have the stocking hat. I already got that out. I'm going to have the ugly sweater going tomorrow.
Like,
tomorrow's
Christmas.
Well, you got to get something today.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
I mean,
dude, don't come in here tomorrow wearing a bimbo shirt or something like that. Like, it's not, you got to dress the part tomorrow. And you too, Egan. All right, I'll have none of it. I want Christmas cheer here tomorrow.
I bought Skylar a Santa outfit. I can take a picture of her in that.
No, it doesn't work.
She could stand in for me.
No, like, let's have at it tomorrow.
No.
Egan, you in?
No, I'm not.
Just
in.
Wear your, wear the other work clothes that
wear
you
the
wear
elf
is
on
all
the
I'm
going
to say. Yeah. You can't do that.
It's at the dry cleaners.
You guys haven't gotten into Elf in the Shelf yet.
We're thinking next year. Do you know there's like a thing online that's basically... Actually, I think it was written in either, not New York Times, but a respected publication up there. I forget which one. I'm blanking. That Elf on the Shelf is actually teaching your children about inviting spyware basically into your homes. Like, it's ingraining in them that it's okay for the deep state to basically spy on you.
To infiltrate your home?
Yeah, to infiltrate your home and report to somebody else about what's going on in your home.
Yeah.
They say it's like early stages of, you know, how your microphone on your cell phone listens to everything. And
Jamie, get woke.
Yeah, like Google knows all about you. So Elf on the Shelf is actually problematic because it invites spying. And it justifies it.
We just can't have fun anymore, can we?
You mean Mr. Jingle Jangles is reporting back? No way.
So, the Elf on the Shelf in our house the other day was wrapped around, arms and legs wrapped around the handle to my kegerator.
That's a good spot for him.
So, I thought, well, no, I came down in the morning and I went to make like breakfast and I'm like, why does it smell
like?
You
want to make your morning beer?
It literally smelled like beer in my kitchen a little bit, and especially over by the kegerator. And I'm like, what the hell? So finally I look up and I see the Elf on the Shelf wrapped around my kegerator handle. And I'm like, I know what happened.
It was dripping a little bit.
When he flew onto it, to the handle, keep it safe.
Yeah.
When he flew onto the handle, he must have hit the handle forward a little bit and some of the beer spilled out. And he didn't think enough to get the little tray that you have underneath where the beer comes out and pour that out and clean it out. Yeah. They just left it there. So I had to clean up after Elf on the Shelf the other morning. Yeah.
Get it together,
Elf. Bad move by him, but. Yeah. Either that or somebody was checking on me to see how early I'm drinking beer at the house. 610-632-0975. We're talking all Eagles. Where did it go wrong? What's happening? Why is everybody just coming down so bad on Carson Wentz? But it's happening. And what might be the first move that you would make if you had to do it? Jamie and Egan are both Howie Roseman has to go. I'm more of you got to split Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. If you keep one, I think the other guy has to go. Robin Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible.
All right. Go for it.
Jamie and Rob and Farzetta, when y'all say fire Howie Roseman, it's like music to my ears. Please keep edging it on. Until they hear it over there and over
there. Yeah, they listen, Rob.
Please keep saying it. But listen. I'm going to name a couple players. Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson, Jordan Hicks, who was a solid player, but he's injury prone. But it was a good pick.
Yeah.
When did those players come in what particular era? And who was the head coach? And who made those picks?
That was the Chip Kelly era.
That was the Chip Kelly era. You are correct, Jamie. So if Chip Kelly can hit on three players, why can't this guy hit on a certain amount of players? I don't want to hear all of, man, DK Metcalf is something wrong with his neck, but you would take a chance on a guy who blown his Achilles and the Sidney Jones, who didn't even play the year you drafted him, but this guy, DK Metcalf, he's going on 2-4 seasons now. It don't seem like it's nothing. His neck is bothering him to me. He's jumping up and down and making plays like another Odell Beckham in the league and became one of the premier receivers in the league. So, I mean, that I don't want to hear that no more. And then I'm one of the only kind of fans, right, you guys, where I'll get a notification to my phone about Howie Roseman trading picks for players, and I'll get upset. I'll get upset because he has the screw-up effect. You literally need 25 picks in the draft. You can't afford to keep trading off picks because you need 25 picks in the draft in order for you to hit on at least 3 or 4 players.
Yeah.
Because it rarely happens where you're going to keep picking these no-name players and they become a hit. You rarely are going to find people like a Kareem Hunt or Richard Sherman. Those guys are they diamonds in the rough.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't keep trading off picks and giving off access like that when you have the mindset whereas you're trying to be smarter than everybody in the league and you just picking players that nobody's heard of. Nobody's doing that in the league. You can't keep picking. I mean, Corey Davis, it took him some time, but out there in Tennessee, y'all making plays. He didn't come off on fire, you know, the first time he was drafted because he was a first round pick. But at the same time, you can't keep I don't trust Howie Roseman. I think he's going to screw it up. So, Bob, I'm not with you for you to say that if you're going to keep Carson. No. Let Carson succeed somewhere else because they're going to destroy that man if Howie keeps making these picks. You can't keep letting that man make the picks. And then he's coming out there and you got these terrible draft picks playing with. I still think Wentz can be a franchise quarterback. I think he can be a franchise quarterback. I don't dislike Wentz at all.
Yeah.
But it's like, how many times you going to keep seeing year after year where a backup comes in and the team just get a burst of energy? I don't care if the locker room don't like him or not, or whatever's going on. It's something to whereas the next player up is better when he comes on the field. I mean, you can't keep letting it happen.
You can't keep
letting it happen year after year after year.
I hear you.
So
fair
you
enough,
let
Rob.
Let's go somewhere else and succeed, man.
All that's right. Well, that's my number one thing. So, well, wait a second. What's your feel good movie? Your guilty pleasure movie?
I'm gonna say I got two. It's 40-year-old version and Knocked Up. I'm just a goofy guy.
All right, now that's cool. I don't know if either one of them is chick. Knocked
well, that's
up.
The thing is, you're saying guilty pleasure and guilty pleasure. The Knocked what? Up and that is a guilty pleasure, but you need to say chick flick. You're not being clear, Bobby.
Wow. All right, I was trying to be politically correct, I guess.
Well,
all right, we'll go full on chick flick. You're right.
We can't say chick flick.
Yeah, we've gotten to the point of 2020 where people are going to get offended over chick flick.
You.
Man, you guys are on me today.
Bob, if they get offended over chick flick, they've gotten offended over way worse stuff than we've said on this show.
I follow Jamie on Twitter.
That's a good point. Call
I do.
A point.
Do I follow you?
No.
All right.
But I like it that way. I block
There's
you.
Some sanity in the world. Dan in Kutztown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
What's happening, great, Dan?
Hey, so Jamie, dude, I thought I had your movie pegged when you were saying that you had one and we didn't hear it for a little while.
What'd you think?
I was thinking Just Friends.
I don't know that one.
You don't know Just Friends?
Let me Google the...
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
And Amy Smart? That's a great flick. You gotta watch that.
Oh, I've seen... I've seen bits and pieces of this. Okay.
And it's probably...
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is entertaining as hell.
Oh, yeah. The whole movie's just hilarious. I really like it. But it's kind of chick flick. It's more romantic comedy. I guess it's got some edgy stuff in it, though, too. So it's good. And what the hell's her name? The girl from
Amy Smart.
Scary Movie. No, the one from Scary Movie, though, Anna Faris. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's hilarious in it. And anyway.
Amy Smart showed her boobs in Road Trip. I'll never forget.
That's right.
Yes. No, you won't. No, you won't. What do you got on the Eagles, Dan?
I think that we kind of almost need to do what you say, Bob, but without really getting rid of anybody. I think we just need to add some people. They need to add somebody in the front office that can help how we draft. And we need to add somebody that can kind of get in between Doug and Carson and help call plays and do something with the offense a little bit. I think you stick with Jalen Hurts for the rest of the year. You let it play out. You let the quarterback competition happen. Because any knee-jerk reaction right now, everybody's saying there's no right answer, there's no right answer. Well, then sometimes if there's no right answer, you don't really need to do anything. So in this case, let's just let the quarterback competition happen. See what happens. I think Carson will start next year, even if Hurts has two more good games. I think that's what they'll settle on. And then, you know,
but
you
Dan,
never know.
Dan, do you think he could be successful with Jalen Hurts on the bench?
Do I think that Carson can be successful with Hurts on the bench?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's mentally strong enough. I mean, one of the things I question about him is not his mental toughness. It's like his lack of an edge. I feel like, you guys know the movie The Program?
Yeah, he needs a little more Latimer in him.
I need a little bit of a wild man. I need a cocaine out there, you know what I mean? Like, I think Carson's so, I don't know, he's goody-goody, you know what I mean? I think it's hard to follow somebody like that that's so straight. So I think he struggles to rally the team in that way. You know, he needs to get a little wild man in him. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's not bad, Dan. Thanks for the call.
He doesn't think the G-Golly approach is working?
I don't see that on the field, though, the G-Golly.
No,
like, on the field, I see a pretty tough dude. Like, I don't question that.
Absolutely.
What Dan said was like, look, there are so many questions. This is an interesting take, but I don't think we necessarily agree with it, but it's an interesting take. There's so many things that need to be done that you don't do anything, that you just add to get somebody to help Howie in the draft.
Well,
get
somebody
to help Doug in the offense.
John Dorsey's here. We just
haven't they already done that? That's my thing. I think you've already done it.
How many guys on the offensive coaching staff?
Yeah.
Three or four?
And it's funny, in this exercise,
Hornway, Scangarello, they brought in Aaron Moorhead, the new wide receiver coach. They brought, you know, I think that might be a problem, actually. There's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, and it's funny what Dan said. We have to do this exercise last night for getting ready for the John Kincaid show, which will be...
Yeah, we had homework.
Yeah, we had homework last night. So, of course, John will be joining us on January 4th. We're excited for that. Whole new show, going to be a lot of fun. But we had a little bit of homework to do last night. And almost verbatim what Dan just said about adding guys to help as opposed to getting rid of guys and bring in was one of my notes, is maybe that one of the things you should do. Does Howie just need help? Like, look, dude, go back to just being a capologist. We have a whole new group to handle the draft.
Well, that would be why John Dorsey's here, right?
Like, you would think, yes.
To supplement him, to help him in the draft, because Dorsey has been, you know, more successful than Howie Roseman when it comes to drafting in what he's left behind in Cleveland and Kansas City. But, you know, a lot of people are saying him and Eric Bieniemy are all but a package deal to go elsewhere this offseason, and Dorsey could be a highly sought-after GM. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you get his scouting throughout the year, but then he leaves at draft time?
Yeah.
Like, you can give Howie all the scouting reports in the world. I need somebody holding his hand in that war room if he's not going to be here.
Yeah.
Because he's shown smartest guy in the room, you know, syndrome, just like Brian Colangelo had. You might be able to work, but you need somebody babysitting you.
Yeah.
And that, in theory, kind of says you don't work. But if he's not going to go anywhere, then I need somebody holding his hand.
No, I agree.
What's that? You want JJ Arcega Whiteside? No, we're going SEC wide receiver. Snap out of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
that's
it's
a
that
good
simple.
That's a good name, and have somebody else announce it. Maybe even say to Howie, who? JJ Arcega Whiteside? Okay, no problem. Yeah, we'll take DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
You know, like, do one
of
those.
The opposite.
Yeah.
George Costanza used to always get tuna salad on white toast on opposite days.
Exactly.
He used to have the chicken salad on rye with a tea instead of a coffee.
Right.
That's what Howie needs to do.
And a coffee. No, make it a tea.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Something's got to change. So what Dan said about bringing other people in, I agree with
it in the front office.
But I think you have to also take away some people.
I think you need a play caller. If Doug's going to remain and you decide to stick with Carson or open up the camp battle, whatever it is, I think you need a play caller.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson needs to worry about being the head coach, and he needs to get his head out of the play chart and be more involved with the game and working with the quarterback. Because if he is this quarterback whisperer, you know, Brett Favre always said,
right,
he always had the right thing to say.
Yep.
He was Mr. Then work with Carson, because we see you, and granted we don't see everything from the television broadcast, but we see you working with Jalen Hurts when he comes off the field. We see you diving into a quick tablet read here and there, going over a play. We don't see that with Carson.
No.
And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't appear to happen. So be a head coach, get your head out of the play chart, and maybe work with your quarterback.
They're
trying everything possible.
They're not. I mean, they're not communicating via osmosis or anything like
that. No.
They don't talk to each other. And on the rare occasion, say Doug calls a timeout on a, you know, I don't know, at third and goal, and Carson comes over. It's almost awkward to watch the two of them try to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Carson kind of stands there, wipes the face, takes a sip, looks over.
It was
Doug's
like
in his play chart.
It was like when I found out today you unfollowed me on Twitter. Now it's just awkward in here. You know, it's like we're trying to make it work, but it just feels weird. It's different. I don't know if we're ever going to be the same. You know?
I'm not going to die. Keith in New York, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show. I listen to you every day. I just don't call in much.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Keith. Appreciate it.
And also, Merry Christmas to everybody there.
Same to you, buddy.
I'm calling about the Carson Wentz. Look, I'm just a fan. I'm just a normal guy, but it cracks me up how I can think of players that we should have drafted, and you guys think of the same players. These guys are the experts. Why can't they hit on it? And it also blows my mind how everybody is just killing Carson Wentz right now. I mean, I'm a Carson Wentz man. I'm hoping he comes back. I don't know if him and Jalen can be on the same team together. I really don't think they can. I don't think they can either. I mean, Carson Wentz is going to be looking over his shoulder all the time. And I'm a little bit with Bob. I don't think Peterson and Wentz can be together. Somebody's got to go.
It appears that way. I mean, the success that Doug has had with every quarterback not named Carson Wentz here is too eye-popping to deny anymore.
Yes. I don't think they could be together anymore. And
And I'm hoping Wentz can, you know, step up to the plate and show us, you know, the Wentz from old. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. And maybe Laurie will get rid of Howie.
you didn't even believe it when you said it, Keith.
yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see it happen. But I think Pearson will go before Howie will go. And
yes,
and
he will.
My time's short here, so I'll just give you my
chick flick. Your chick flick. All right.
I'll hit with Jamie for a second. Love Actually. Cool movie.
Yeah, solid flick.
I like it. I mean, I'm a guy's guy. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'6", 260. And I got to admit, I like some of my chick flicks. But Love Actually is a cool movie. But one of my favorite is, I don't know if you guys ever, A Lot Like Love with Ashton Kutcher and Amanda Peet.
It's a good movie. Love. Haven't seen that one. Keith, listen, have a great holiday, okay? Thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening. Too. All right, buddy. Thank you.
I love Amanda Peet. I could watch her in anything. Showed her boob in the whole nine yards before she killed a guy. But Pat Egan could confirm, is this the one where they had like the two movies back-to-back that was like the same premise? Wasn't Justin Timberlake in one and then the exact same?
Yeah, no, I think you're thinking of No Strings Attached with Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
And I don't think this was... Okay. I know what you're talking about,
though. Wasn't there like two of the exact same movies?
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. It's like Justin Timberlake.
3 months?
Yeah, it's Ashton... I think the one that you're thinking of is Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman. And then there was with Justin Timberlake.
And Jessica Biel? No.
It might have been.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. I mean, this happens a lot, too, where there's, like, the same damn movie.
Same plot.
It's like Olympus Has Fallen White House Down were another example of, like, two similar movies.
I love Amanda Peet.
She's attractive.
I just, like, so these movies you've seen as an adult and you're saying, like, she shows boob.
Well,
And you get, like, all cool about it. I got to get Mike from Del Ran because I know he's probably hustling to work. Mike, you're on 97.5. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Bob. Hey, listen, I just wanted to thank you for always being a loyal Twitter follower, Bob.
I followed you from the beginning, Mike.
It's messed up, Mike.
Yeah. Well, you've invited me to your man cave. Jamie hasn't even invited me to the new mansion, so.
Yeah, really. We don't even have pictures of that. Hey, and also, thank you for reminding me about Amy Smart and Road Trip. I almost crashed her on the way to work, so it's good work by you.
That was a sneaky one. Yeah. Below the radar.
If you want to see another one, Crank 2 has a good scene in it as well. So you want to check that out. Listen, I mean, you know, I'm done banging the Carson Wentz drum. Whoever's going to help us win, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, just get it right. That's all I care about.
That's the thing. Listen, we wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for Howie.
Yes.
Right? If he didn't draft Jalen Hurts, we wouldn't be talking about this. If he didn't give Carson Wentz $100-some million guaranteed a little early, we wouldn't be talking about this. So he's got to go. And if Carson goes, Howie's got to go, right? If Doug goes, Howie and Carson, maybe Carson stays. I can see that. But those two are tied together. So if Carson's out, Howie's got to be out.
Yeah, I feel like Doug kind of like figured out why he was brought here. You know what I mean? Like, I think he had. I think he was happy to have the job at first. Then he established that he was pretty good at what he does, and then he kind of realized, wait, I was just brought in to be like their puppet.
Pretty much. I mean, you remember when he got hired, everybody, what was the one guy, Lombardi, the least qualified candidate.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl.
And then you had Andy Reid lying about what he actually called and what he did in Kansas City. I think he was just happy to be here. Now he knows he's good and he can do this elsewhere. And he's like, yeah, I'm not your puppet anymore.
I want everybody to do a favor today and go look on YouTube, 2016, week 3 against the Steelers. I was at a wedding in Florida. I was the best man. We had the TV outside. That's when I knew Carson Wentz was my franchise quarterback. Fast forward to now, everyone who's assuming that Jalen Hurts is going to be that same quality guy, only better, just remember we all thought the same thing back in 2016 for Carson Wentz. And as far as the chick flick stuff, I won't watch him. I refuse to watch him, but it's not a movie, but sometimes I can get stuck watching Real Housewives when the wife has
fun. Oh, no, Mike.
There's nothing better than rich white chicks yelling at each other, going on vacation, and then being friends again.
All right, Mike, listen, have a great holiday if we don't talk to you. All right, buddy?
All
right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Oh, wow. No, I will not watch that. I refuse to watch that. That's one of the realities I won't watch.
Yeah.
All right, so coming up, 8 o'clock, we have Avante Maddox. We'll dig in with him, see what he saw this weekend from the sidelines as he's trying to repair an injury. 8:45, we have Doc Rivers. But before that, 8:30, all the takes. All that coming up here, 97.5 Morning Show. time is 7:52.
The folks at North Penn want to wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. You've been hearing me talk about North Penn Volkswagen for a while now, and what a great, and I mean great, experience my family and I had getting our car there. Walk in the showroom, and Matt took care of us like you wouldn't believe. Most of the work was done when we weren't even there. He minimized our time in the actual showroom down to like 20 minutes. It was a breeze. Well, now is a great time for you to call, click, or stop by North Penn Volkswagen on Route 309 in Colmar. Be a part of the Sign and Drive sales event going on now. Plus, Volkswagen is offering the no-brainer of the year. 0% financing for 72 months on most models. The selections of vehicles made it easy to find exactly what we were looking for. You can shop online, appraise your trade, schedule service, apply for credit, and so much more, all from the comfort of your own home. North Penn Volkswagen in Colmar was a breeze to get to. It's right off Route 309 Bethlehem Pike. There's never been a better time to buy a new Volkswagen during the Sign and Drive sales event going on now. With 0% financing for 72 months on most models. You got to check out NorthPennVW.com. That's NorthPennVW.com. North Penn Volkswagen. The right experience. The right choice.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm going to talk over it. You cut Springsteen. I'm talking over your favorite song. Blah, 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 blah.
She doesn't care about the presents under the tree, Bob.
You know what Skylar's really into? Sia's Christmas album.
Oh, yeah?
Sia, there was a Target commercial, and I forget what. It was Sia. And when she was like, baby, baby. She started, like, bopping her head to it, so we always found that
I remember
like,
you showed us video, yeah.
Yeah, and Sia, we just discovered, has a Christmas album.
Wow.
And you put on Candy Cane Lane.
Forget about
and
it.
That girl starts dancing.
Does she?
Oh, yeah.
Is she swinging the hips already and stuff?
She's dancing like her old man. She's got nothing.
Does she bite the lip?
She's her got a bite little bit the, of, yeah. Like a little booty, like, hip shuffle.
Yeah.
That's all she's got. She's got one move, and she sticks to it.
Nothing wrong with that.
I can't dance. Hopefully for Skylar, she gets her mother's dance skills. I'm trash.
I don't care. I'm probably bad, but I don't care. Like, I'll go out and have fun. I think I can dance a little bit, but I'll go out and have fun. Like, it seems like everybody's video of their weddings.
Oh, I got...
Like, it hits on me at some point, because I go out there and I just, like...
I'll tweet out a picture later today that we found it, you know, recently.
I follow you on Twitter.
thanks for that, Bob. We found pictures, you know, going through my dad's, you know, all these photos.
Yeah.
So we found some from my wedding. And there's one, the wedding photographer had to be, like, peeing her pants at how dumb I look when she developed it. Because I ended up getting hammered at my wedding a little bit.
Nah, that's
no
a violation.
Way. Well, it wasn't on purpose.
I didn't know what I was doing.
I wouldn't say hammered. Like, I remember everything. And I had a great time, smile ear to ear the whole day, well, yada, yada, yada. So many people told me going into your wedding day, it's impossible to get drunk because...
You're so busy.
You're so busy. You're going table to table. You're talking. You're kissing babies. You know, that whole thing. So I didn't realize that everybody under the sun offers you a drink when they're going to the bar. Like, I never went to the bar
it's
once.
Your day.
Yeah, but people would always stop by the table and be like, hey, Addie, Jamie, can I get you something? I'm going to the bar. And it was the same on the dance floor. And people just kept, it was like a conveyor belt of drinks to me. Next thing I knew, it got a little out of control. Long story short, I puked in the coat closet of the hotel.
What?
The next morning when my mother-in-law was picking us up. But anyway, I was dancing.
No, wait, whoa. All right, go ahead. You were dancing?
I can't dance. And I was having a good time. I was feeling no pain.
Yeah.
And I guess I started like slapping the bass a little bit or something to one of the songs. And there's this picture of me.
Slapping the bass.
And my
drop that. I don't think Bob gets that reference. Yeah.
my guts out. I got a stupid look on my face. I'm slapping the bass. and I just look like such an idiot. Yeah. I'll send you the picture later.
Is Addie in the picture? Like, can
no,
you see a look at the
disgust?
Oh, really?
And it's
so
absurd.
What was her level of hammeredness on this day if you were both getting offered drinks all the time?
She was probably much more in control than I was, because I was under the belief I had all this energy and like excitement and the alcohol wasn't going to faze me. Let me just tell you, if you're getting married in the future, don't believe that. It's very possible to get drunk at your wedding.
Yeah, and it's not a good idea.
I was in control. You're assuming I'm like drunk.
You're the one that told us. You said hammered and throwing up in a closet the next day. That's kind of out of control drunk to me, dude.
No, not in the moment. You can puke the next day and be in control. Like, I wasn't, like, embarrassing my family. Like, nobody, like, by the end of the night at the bar, people were probably like, all right.
Jamie Lynch family member, 610-622-0975.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I need to hear from the family members.
Yeah,
hearing
people
this
back
now.
Me up. We had a good time. It was a great time. But I wasn't
Mrs.
like.
Mrs. Lynch, I'm not kidding you. If you're listening,
I
need to know.
On myself and drooling.
How bad Jamie was. And who picked you up the next day? Addie's mom?
Yeah, she had like, our car.
This is my son-in-law? Like, seriously.
The guy, the lobby head or whatever came up to me because I was sitting on a rocking chair, and he was like, dude, you all right? And I was like, not really.
We got another lightweight.
And he was like, there's a coat closet over there. There's a trash can if you need it.
Oh, so you at least got it in the trash can.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just like closet.
No. I was in
great control. I made it to that trash can.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't get to the bathroom, but you made it to the trash can.
Yeah, so you can't get drunk at your wedding, it turns out.
Oh, good Lord. Jamie's excursions. That's where we are. But yeah, Mrs. Lynch, if you're out there and Jamie did embarrass you on his wedding day, we'd love to hear from you.
So that story came from me not being able to dance.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, Egan, on the other hand,
he's Mr. Dance.
I'm not like I say. Love, I'm serious. Egan can dance.
I love going to weddings and just getting out there,
just tearing it up,
putting people to shame.
Yeah, it's. Do you embarrass? Do you like go up to a guy who's a bad dancer, say a drunk Jamie, and you just dance in front of him so that they'll sit down and stop?
No. I'm not out there to make people feel bad.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've inadvertently done it before. There was a wedding. We were up in Rhode Island for it, and I was doing my thing. And apparently, a buddy overheard another couple where the girl told the guy, "That's how you're supposed to be dancing," and she was pointing at me.
Wow!
So she was shaming her date.
Mr. Steal your girl.
Yeah,
over
she was
here.
Shaming her date, and me and that girl had fun. We had a good time. Later on, in the coat closet that Jamie threw up in. But I'm not trying. I'm just having. I'm being me.
You're just being you.
I'm being me. And if people want
to, and to hear a girl say to her date, "I wish you could be more like him," that's got to be pretty flattering.
That accomplishment is on my LinkedIn.
Yeah,
I've been brought in for many job interviews solely because of that story. But I've never got the job. But whatever.
I'm proud of you.
Well, yeah, no, it's a good time. You start busting a move, the hips start swinging left to right, maybe a little thrust action.
Uh huh.
Next thing you know, you got a crowd around you. They're just amazed that this little. First of all, they're probably trying to figure out how this 12-year-old can dance like that. And then they realize, like, oh, no, crap, like, he's an adult.
That's one of the things we have to do is get you out to go into liquor stores and see how many times you get carded. We'll make you look as young as we can, and we got to see how many times you get asked for ID
this
when
we
you go
have
to buy
to
liquor.
Make him look as young as he can. All he has to do is wear his blood
shave.
Blood.
No, because he's got to shave, and, like, we put a little hat on him, and maybe, I don't know.
A little hat with a propeller?
Hat with a propeller.
So one of my first years doing producing, the show that I was doing, it was a Saturday morning show, and for whatever reason, they wanted to day drink. There was some alcohol concoction that was going around the internet that they wanted to try. They sent me to the liquor store down the street. It was not Four Loko. They sent me to the liquor store down the street at 7 a.m.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 23.
Okay.
24.
Well, yeah, all right. That's
but
okay.
It was one of those, oh my God, like I'm lumped in with, the alcoholics that are waiting for this place to open up to go out there and grab some booze.
I wasn't no alcoholic. Some people work different shifts. It's nighttime to them.
I'm not shaming. It's just it was one of those, this is where my career has taken me.
Yeah.
To the liquor store in City Line Avenue at 7 in the morning.
City Avenue.
It's
not City Line
It divides
Avenue.
Two City cities. Avenue. It's City Line Avenue.
No, it's not. Jerome in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jerome?
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
What's up, Jerome?
All right, so I got a few pointers, and then, I'm going to hang up and let y'all.
All right, fix the Eagles for us, Jerome. Go.
Listen, there is no fixing the Eagles that you're trying. I'm going to tell you. It's going to take at least 2 years to get everything back on track. But the thing that must take place for this to happen must happen. Okay? I said this back in 2017 when we won the chip. I said, damn, it's a good thing for the city, but it's a bad thing for Carson. I foresaw this. I foresaw that he was going. This, number one, we are in an era of pettiness. Okay? So when y'all ask the fans, you know, why are the fans turning on, you know, Wentz and stuff like that? Listen, the fans from, and I'm speaking from, you know, a diehard from the day I was born, Philly all the way around, okay? When you look at other teams that had dynasties, the Chicago Bulls, the 49ers, the Pats, or whoever, you know what I'm saying? You look at those teams and you say, damn, why can't our team be like that? Why can't we follow that same mold, you know? And then when we have somebody like Howie Roseman, okay, that refuses to use his common sense.
I love the stank you put on his name, Jerome.
Hey, look, you know, I could go deeper, but I know we're on air, okay? But when you have somebody like Howie Roseman making the decisions and not using his common sense, and we, as a fan, scratching our head like, well, wow, you know, what's going on? And then you have players such as Carson Wentz, okay, who took us as far as he could in 2017, got hurt, okay? Watch Foles finish what he started. Then they put a statue in front of the stadium, okay? Then you got a Doug that act like he don't know how to play call for this man. It's the era of pettiness. So, of course, I'm thinking, and this is just my opinion, that, you know, Wentz is on some pettiness right now. You don't want to, you know, work with me, then I'm not going to work with you, okay? So, we're, as the fans, we're caught in this spiral, okay? Because Lori don't want to do right, and it's, I'm scratching my head because as a businessman, I'm like, wow, Lori, you want to let this guy keep making the same mistakes over and over and over, but then y'all fire Andy Reid because he got him. It's like, there's no concrete structure, even with Lori.
Yeah.
And because we watch all these other teams win and win and win and win, and it's so easy, okay? It's so easy for us to say, you know what? Let's stop this, okay, with this project player. Let's stop this with this injured player. Like, it, the move that has been made over the years just leaves us scratching. So I'm going to tell you the way to fix it, Howie has to go.
All right.
Come on, get it. Go scratch your butt on somebody else's toilet.
Jerome, give me a chick flick that you enjoy that maybe you're not, you know, that you're not embarrassed to tell us.
I like the Wedding Singer.
A Wedding Singer. Oh, thanks, Jerome. Have a good holiday, buddy.
I like that.
That was just on yesterday.
Go scratch your ass on somebody else's. And did you notice he dropped a turlet?
Yeah, turlet. that's pretty good.
When he first was talking, and he went, Howie Roseman.
It reminded me of the dude that was catching babies and said, unlike Aguilar, you know.
If my drop screen worked, I could play that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Yeah, he put real stank on Howie.
I think, is it universal agreement among Eagles fans that Howie Roseman should go at this point?
I haven't heard anybody make the case that he should stay. Let's put it that way, right? Like, I put out there separating Carson and Doug. A lot of people have said Doug should stay, right? We've heard that. We've heard callers say that. We've heard callers say that Carson should stay. We've heard the opposite also. I don't think we really have had anybody call and say,
I don't think there's anybody
you
left.
Gotta keep Howie.
I don't think anybody's left.
No?
I haven't met them.
All right, that'll be the theme of the show. If you like Howie Roseman, 610, but nobody's really made the case
Howie. How could you? I mean,
I don't know.
You could say, oh, you know, like a Josh Sweat in the fifth round, like here and there, he finds a pebble.
Well, you know, like seriously, you know, we could give a list to somebody. They go, oh, Penn State, that's a local school, right? All right, let's take him.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of luck out there.
And man, you know what would have really saved his job? And I know people hate talking about it, but just simply taking DK Metcalf or Terry McLaurin over J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, because then you have Miles Sanders and them, two picks within about four picks. Then
and
you're
Dallas
being,
Goddard, a
then
tight
you're being
end,
lauded.
Yeah,
like it's amazing how quickly in the NFL draft, you know, one mistake compounds another mistake, and next thing you know, you're in a free fall.
And then maybe maybe your Greg Wards and your Travis Fulghams.
They're the supplemental pieces that are just great.
And because they're seeing these great players in practice every day, maybe even their level rises more than what it already has.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they become better players. Because I'm a firm believer, when you're around really good players, you can't help but get better yourself.
Oh, like, I think, not that, you know, no slight on Luka Doncic, but I think Seth Curry is going to be a better player with Ben Simmons this year.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's going to be open a lot. And I'm sure he was with Luka too, but I just feel like Ben Simmons, just to shift gears because we have Doc Rivers coming up in a half hour, makes his teammates better. And that's like, that's the one thing people don't talk about with him, and that gets like underappreciated about Ben's game. So, you know, you always want a great player to make people around you better.
Oh, yeah. And I'm big on little things with basketball. And one thing that Ben does, and I had a player tell me in the past, and I can't remember who it was. It may have been J.J. Redick telling me about how Ben gives you the ball where you want it. And I'm like, you talking on the floor? He goes, no. He said, look at a lot of times when guys will do one-handed.
Where they catch it?
Like, yeah. Like, you talk about hitting a guy in the chest with a pass. Like, I think it was Redick, but I'm not positive who it was. But they said, like, I like to catch the ball here and shoot. If I have to wait, you know, have to waste a half a second or 2 seconds, like, catching a ball down by my left knee and then bringing it up to my right shoulder.
Yeah.
He said he can dribble through a lane.
In lacrosse, we called it the box.
Like, yeah.
You want to catch it in your box.
Exactly.
And that's your... You can pass, you can shoot, it's your triple threat position.
Right.
And it might vary from player to player. You know, like Danny Green might be up more by his eyeballs.
Exactly.
Because he has a high release point jumper.
A simple
Seth
thing.
Seth might be on the hip. JJ might be at the nipple. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, that's a marker on the body.
Like, he's getting big in the basketball league. Like, he's going places that I can really enjoy. And then he's talking about passes to the nipple.
Well, nipple height. It's like foul line extended.
Well, can you just say
nipple,
chest?
Everybody's nipple's right? different.
Nipple line extended. Like, that's where JJ likes
well,
catching.
Well, Jamie, if your hotspot was catching it at the nipple, you have a huge target that I would be aiming. Two of them.
Can't miss these bad boys.
I mean, they're just right out there for the taking.
But yeah, like that Ben does stuff like that that is underappreciated by a lot of Sixers fans.
Yeah, no, and it's a case. The guy I was talking to.
We can talk to Doc about how Ben's nipple passing is compared to other point guards.
No, please don't. But what this guy was telling me was.
Bob's so afraid deep down that I'm going to embarrass him in the station in this Doc Rivers interview.
No, I'm not. I'm not scared at all. No, you're not scared.
I'm going to mention nipples.
I've talked to him already about you. Don't worry about it. Matt and Hazleton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, good morning, Bob, Jamie, Pat. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for making it, buddy.
Yep, condolences, Jamie. Sorry to hear about that.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys get through this time.
I appreciate that.
I got a phrase here that's in my mind that I think you guys will appreciate as far as this whole Eagle situation. These pretzels are making me thirsty. And, you know, it is. It's such a paradox that they created for themselves. But the more I've listened, and I've been listening a lot because it's, you know, like you guys have talked about, it's so interesting right now. Think about all the different ways they could go. I'm sort of leaning towards something that Anthony has talked about a lot and he's wanted, and that's Eric Bieniemy and him being also personnel control, or at least, even if it's not announced, behind the scenes, you know, Jeffrey said, hey, you're going to have a say, or you're going to have the say, and maybe we don't announce it, but, you know, so how he can stay in this position, because we all know Jeffrey's not firing Howie, because the biggest problem...
No, he's not.
And it's been talked about a couple times, but Jeffrey is the biggest problem right now, because what he's allowed Howie to do with this roster has been criminal almost. I mean, we're in such turmoil with, like you said, Jamie, you could pick any number of positions. A lot of our best players, you know, that have big contracts are definitely at the peak or going to be declining in between Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce probably going to retire, Darius Slay towards the end. I mean, we need so many positions. So I think the Bieniemy thing, you said John Dorsey's already in place, where that's kind of a package deal, that would already be there. Give him a long deal, you know, where he's enticed to come here compared to where there might be a better job.
And Matt, to your point, if they know Dorsey and Bieniemy are going to be a package deal, you know, they might have been already have made up their minds prior to this year that they're going to move on from Doug, and they brought John Dorsey in here to lure Bieniemy in. And that's not out of the question at all.
Yeah, the other reason I like that too, Jamie, is with if you do that, I would keep Carson and Jalen Hurts. And I know I do see your point on can Carson succeed with Jalen behind him. Maybe with the fresh start of a coach that actually can see in line with him more, he'll feel more inclined to just be himself and not feel like he's got something to prove to Doug. Because I don't want to trade either of them, to be honest with you. Because if you
in an ideal world, Matt, no, you don't want to trade either of them.
Right, right. Because, you know, because if you're wrong on that, then you are just...
Oh, yeah.
Then you ruined Carson. Like, if you trade Jalen and he turns into a franchise, then you ruined Carson. Yeah. And you trade the guy away that he was supposed to replace him.
Yeah, yeah. There's a high chance of disaster in the decision right. They're about to make.
Matt, give me your chick flick that you're not embarrassed to tell us you're in love with.
All right. So this is one I liked when I was growing up. I was a fan of... Julia Stiles. It was 10 Things I Hate About You.
Good one. Matt, have a good holiday. Thanks, buddy.
You guys too. Happy holidays.
All right, be good.
We got one on Twitter from our buddy Eric Fink out there. He said, just tuning in, ultimate chick flick that I love, definitely Maybe.
Oh, that's a great one.
I think that's I've a really seen it. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Reynolds in any chick flick is going to be good.
I'll tell you, that's one of mine.
It's his daughter asking about how he met her mom.
Oh, so it's like How I Met Your Mother in rom-com form, kind of?
Yeah, but with a better ending.
Yeah.
So I have one that has Ryan Reynolds also. I think it's Ryan Reynolds.
He's highly entertaining.
It's called The Proposal. Is that
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah,
I thought you were going Deadpool.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I've never sat down and watched it, but I've seen bits and pieces. It's not bad at all.
Yeah. I go back and forth on her. Like, is she...
See, now, Speed was in my wheelhouse growing up.
So was she...
Pop quiz hotshot. Like, Sandra Bullock driving that bus, you know, 12, 13-year-old Jamie, whatever it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was in my...
I never got if anybody took her as... good looking, or if she's just really good actress.
Yeah,
she's
hot. The movie that I mentioned in the hallway to you was While You Were Sleeping. That was that's a chick flick I love.
Oh, really?
And I was watching it. I got into it when I was probably, I don't know, 10 or whatever. And I had a huge thing for Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Like, she's a very unique beauty.
I think she's, I always call
her. She's not cookie cutter, you know what I mean?
No, she's not at all. Yeah. Like, she's got a
unique look to her.
I always call it obtainable hot, because it's like, she's not.
Oh, yeah, you have a chance, Egan.
Yeah,
I think I do. Sandra Bullock would laugh in our faces.
She would, but in my mind, I'm telling myself, like, okay, you know, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'd have a shot at her giving me a fake number.
No, you don't.
Okay, you don't have to shoot me down like that. You could just, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You have no chance.
All right. Well, we were unable to connect with Avante Maddox. He couldn't get into us today. He's got stuff going on as far as recovery goes. But at 8:45, Doc Rivers, your 76ers head coach, he'll be joining us. But when we return at 8:30, yes, we're giving it to you 5 minutes early so that we have enough time to get to Doc Rivers at 8:45. It will be Pat Egan with all the takes. Morning show here at 97.5, The Fanatic, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch. The aforementioned Pat Egan time is 8:21.
DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sportsbook app, and it's putting you in the center of the action with endless ways to make it rain this week. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players a deposit bonus up to $1,000. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways to bet. From live betting to betting on your favorite players, they do it all. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day this week to cash in on their daily odds boosts. They've got a lot going on this time of the year. Some holiday specials. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANATIC when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code FANATIC for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Santa baby,
This is one of your horny songs.
Is this Madonna?
This is creepy. Who is this?
I think it's Madonna. I know Madonna does a version of it. Yeah, that's Madonna.
No, it sounds like
it's Madonna.
Betty Boop.
It does, but
it's Madonna.
Yeah.
Well, she tries to do
Madonna
that.
Madonna never
did anything for you?
Not nothing, but like...
She did nothing for me.
Really?
Minimal.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Minimal.
Oh, I thought you said... I swear to God, I thought you said nipple. I was like,
dude, yeah, get your mind out of the gutter,
yeah,
Bob.
Right, man. We got Doc Rivers in 15 minutes.
This guy
can't
like,
be talking nipples with Doc.
Somebody said on Twitter he has a nipple fetish, Jamie does.
I tweeted out the picture of the proof of getting drunk at your own wedding and not being
dude,
able to
that
dance.
Is not a good look. The fact that Addie stayed with you is pretty good. Yeah, so we got some great stuff. Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids is a hilarious.
It's a good one. It turns out I think I like more chick flicks than I actually thought with the Gone Girl. That's a mystery.
That is not a chick flick at all.
That is gory.
And I like the book. The book was a lot better. I read the book before I saw the movie. Yeah. The book was really cool.
My wife turned to me when we watched that and said, as serious as she could be, do you realize I could do that to you, right?
Yeah, that's scary. That's probably not something you want to even watch with your wife, is it?
You know, we have that relationship.
Well, anytime I watch that murder mystery where it's always the husband type of thing, she'll always, without fail, look at me and be like, you're not going to do that to me, right? I'm like, you got to stop watching First 48 before you go to bed.
You like, just got to give her a look that scares the hell out of her so that you have the upper hand before you go to bed.
Living with me is scary enough, bub.
Yeah, after seeing that picture, I can see why. Egan, have you ever looked like that while you're dancing? I know you don't drink.
I've gotten pretty sweaty. I don't know. Like, in the moment, Bob, I kind of black out. And when I wake up, I'm at the bar ordering another Shirley Temple. So it's hard to know exactly what I look like in my element.
What is your drink of choice when you go to a wedding? Do you look...
Shirley Temple.
Is it a Shirley Temple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know some
Roy
people...
Roy Rogers, it could also be called...
No, I straight up order a Shirley Temple.
What's the difference between Roy Rogers and Shirley Temple?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
It's just an old boomer thing. Roy Rogers is for the boy and Shirley Temple's for the girl.
Oh, is that right? I never heard that before.
When you're getting, you know, grenadine and Sprite or ginger ale, there's really no manliness to it. So I might as well just own it and say, no, it's a Shirley Temple.
I believe McNabb was a big Shirley Temple man.
So was Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid was a bad Shirley Temple man.
Yeah, I heard his fridge was stocked with like nothing but.
Yeah, to the point where a story that I heard
be like, yo, dude.
They would fill his refrigerator for him every
stop.
Week.
We'll grocery shop for you.
Yeah.
We need some vegetables and fruits.
Think about, like, you know, he's a rookie. We're on a road trip on the West Coast, and they sent him home because he, like, wasn't following rules about how to eat, how to exercise and all.
Was it from Sacramento?
Well, you know, we were doing that swing out there. I don't remember exactly where we were. I think... We may have been in... for some reason, Utah's ringing in my head.
Sacramento to me sounds good, though.
Yeah.
That sounds legit.
Sacramento's one, if not the, it's one of the worst stops on the NBA
Absolutely.
Tour.
But luckily, you're not that far from San Diego. You could do a little day trip. Right?
You could if you had a couple of days.
Yeah.
You're not too far. Some guys would do a little,
I understand Sacramento probably needs the team, and they do, like, their base loves the team, but why not just be, like, the Southern California Kings and go to San Diego where it's cool.
I swear to God.
You could get any free agent you wanted if you had the team in San Diego.
Sure.
You know, it's heaven there.
I swear to God, the first time I went to Sacramento to cover Sixers, I get off of the plane, I get into a cab, and the guy literally turned around to me and he says, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm just here on business. He goes, good, because nobody wants to live here. I hope to God you're not thinking to stay. And I said, well, where are you from? He goes, Sacramento. I've been here all my life. He's like, this place sucks. It was unbelievable bad he was putting the place down.
Well, they're kind of like the neglected Southern Californian town. It's like they're forgotten about. Nobody wants to go there.
Is it considered Southern or like Central?
It's inland a little bit.
It is inland,
but
no
Southern
question.
Southern California, right?
Are you a Mets man?
Yeah.
It's
are you
horrible.
A cartographer, Bo?
You
like cartographer?
I never had a good experience in Sacramento.
Yeah.
8 a.m. hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Injured on the job? Visit paworkinjury.com. We got a lot going on here today. As we told you, 10 minutes, Doc Rivers is going to be joining us. First time talking to the head coach of the 76ers. Hopefully the first of many times we will be talking to him. They open tomorrow night hosting the Washington Wizards. The excitement level here is palpable, Jamie. We are pumped. You got your 76ers hoodie on today.
Yeah.
We got beers with Bob tonight, 6 to 8 p.m.
NBA's back tonight, too, starting tonight.
Yep. Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. All that takes Pat Egan right now. I totally forgot.
No, you didn't.
That's it.
Oh, he's unfollowing
me. Yeah, and people want to know why I don't say hello to Bob when I say hello.
Hi, Pat.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
We'll move on.
I feel horrible.
Sometimes rejection sucks, right? I mean, you think you like somebody, and they don't like you as much as you thought.
Like you and Bob's relationship?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, it's awkward if it's, say, a relationship, and, you know, you text that person to get the age-old, who is this? That's the worst. Or if it's a coworker, and you find out that the coworker that you thought you were friends with unfollowed you on Twitter. And that's what happened to Jamie Lynch.
Wow.
Jamie Lynch was simply trying to do his job, come up with a great bit for the show that he works on. When he found out that his coworker, co-host, but apparently not co-friend, was actually his friend, Bob Cooney had unfollowed James E. Lynch from Twitter.
Yeah.
Jamie felt betrayed, coming to his small friend Pat Egan looking for guidance and what to do. Pat told him, look, man, just talk to the guy. And Bob actually tried to play it off like it wasn't his fault. Bob is wrong.
It's awkward in here today, Pat. I'm trying to power through and fight on, but it's hard.
I don't know how you can. Living in a pack of lies right now,
here
a studio
he is, like,
of lies.
6 feet away from me, divided by plexiglass.
Yeah, he's being quiet all of a sudden.
It's just weird.
I didn't unfollow him. I don't know how it happened. Oh. I didn't unfollow
Jamie.
Here we go.
Jamie. Oh, I didn't unfollow him.
I didn't look up Jamie and hit unfollow. I've never done that.
Have your phone yesterday?
I don't know if somebody
maybe
did
Jenna
it messing
Cooney's
around. I don't know if the Twitter universe got into my...
I'm going to go with Jenna Cooney sabotaging
I would never unfollow
you're
Jamie.
You're unfollowing coworkers, which is better than blocking them, but you're unfollowing coworkers. You are skipping benchmark staples of the show, like all the takes. Jeez. Talk about Sacramento, your most hated city. How are we as your coworkers supposed to take that?
If I had an apology to give, I would give it, but that would admit guilt. I didn't do anything
wrong. Bob, we'll move on.
Okay. Sacramento's not in Southern California. You're getting ripped on Twitter, by the way.
Wait, I thought Sacramento was down inland from San Diego.
You don't even know where Sacramento is, you moron.
I don't want to take away from all the takes because I already did that for the first 5 minutes.
All right, whatever.
Guys,
my California knowledge sucks, then. I swore I passed it.
Guys, the boys are back. That's right. Radic Bonk. Anson Carter, Eric Daze, Andres Nodal. The Stars are back. The puck drops January 13th. Flyers will hoist the cup sometime in July, but the NHL's biggest stars might be left out in the cold. I'm talking about Gritty. Gritty wasn't allowed in the Toronto bubble, and yet the most recent example that the league hates the Flyers and wants them to lose, the Flyers lost in the second round because they didn't have their spirit animal there to bestow wisdom, energy, motivation upon the team. And Gritty isn't about to let that happen again. The league's best mascot took to Twitter to make the case that he needs to be there, not just for the Flyers, but for the sport of hockey. He tweeted out a photo of the pros and cons to allowing him in to the games. And the pros were many. The cons were few. The first was he doesn't look clean, and the other was he has swimmer's ear. Understandable. So, let's get this trending. Hashtag free Gritty, because we have to kick off 2021 right, and that includes Gritty in the building.
Gritty needs to be in the building. It's gotten to the point where Kevin Hayes says he'll protest the season if Gritty's not there.
Is that what the NHL wants?
Wow.
You don't want players holding out. Just get Gritty's grimy ass in the building. The sport does need him.
I'm with you. This is ridiculous.
Why would this even be a second
Not just the sport, the city.
Yeah, like
the
if this
state,
is,
the country needs
if
Gritty.
If this is the Calgary Flames Coyote, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Okay, that's barely a mascot. But yeah, free Gritty. He needs to be there. I think we all know that the Flyers would be Stanley Cup champions if the league had allowed him into the Toronto bubble. Apparently, he tried to get in. He was rejected. It's wrong. What the league is doing to the Flyers is wrong. They need to rectify it immediately. So get that trending on Twitter, hashtag free Gritty. And yeah, you know, tag us in, I guess.
Yes, tag us in.
You may have forgotten about ultimate scumbag Martin Shkreli, and if you're one of them, then I envy you. Shkreli was nicknamed Farmer Bro because he jacked up the prices of AIDS medicine to an ungodly rate. He doubled down on being a complete piece of crap by buying the Wu-Tang album that was auctioned off, listening to it once, and then destroying it. Now, eventually, though, karma caught up with the guy, and he got sentenced to 7 years in a federal prison for securities fraud. The man they call Ratface is currently holding someone's pocket, trying not to get his stuff pounded in. But he's back in the news because somehow, and I'm not quite sure how this happened, but it was a weird sound that was being played.
Yeah.
Here we go. Now it'll work. The dude found love in prison. Christine Smythe was a journalist from Bloomberg and was doing stories on Shkreli. But as he tickled her eardrums with stories of taking advantage of AIDS patients, something beautiful happened. A relationship blossomed. Problem is, Smythe was married. But when you see a punchable face like Shkreli and he seems interested, you drop everything in your life for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. She discussed the relationship in a recent article with Elle magazine. She fell in love with the man who looks like a young Clint Howard, left her husband, moved into a small Brooklyn apartment, and started making frequent trips to his cell in Pennsylvania. Things even got pretty hot and heavy as she kissed the real-life version of Gollum on the lips and everything. She started writing...
Sinner.
She started writing Christine Shkreli in her Trapper Keeper. And was ready and planning a beautiful ceremony in cell block C. But apparently, the article came out and Shkreli realized this was bad. Stage 5, clinger and all. The dude listened to the Wu-Tang album and no one else heard it. And that's going to get you some women. No one wants to be tied down in a relationship while in prison, Shkreli being a part of that. Shkreli wanted to play the field. He released a statement ending things, saying he wished Smythe nothing but the best. So to recap, successful writer with a marriage and a family, great New York house, falls in love with a guy who looks like a butthole. She leaves her husband, wow, moves into a closet, starts driving to prison to meet this.
I think he's an ass face.
And he breaks up with her. Real rough ending for 2020 for Smythe, but here's the tie-in. With Shkreli back in the news, Jeff Passan tweeted out that Rays pitcher Tyler Glasnow would look at pictures of Shkreli before games to pump himself up.
Damn, I don't know what it is about your face, but I want to deliver one of these right in your suck hole. If you don't change your face, I'm going to change it for you.
Yeah, he wanted to pound the dude's face in and took it out.
That's a real story?
Yeah.
Passan actually tweeted that?
No, and I'll tell you in a second, right? So he wanted to pound the dude's face in, but he had to use the catcher's mitt. So don't forget, ladies, the man is newly single, ready to mingle in 2023. To answer your question real quick, it is, in fact, a real story. I actually texted Jeff when I said in my text, hey, man, I never do this other than to get people on, but I need to know. Was that story legit, or did you just kind of roll with a joke? And he goes, no, 100% it was legit.
Wow.
So I was able to confirm that, no, Tyler Glasnow, the pitcher for the Rays.
Very good pitcher.
Yeah. Would look at this dude's face to get enraged and then go out and pitch gems.
That's pretty funny.
So,
wow. And I mean, he is that hateable of a face, so I kind of get it, but... Wherever you get your motivation, right?
That's right. Yeah. Find it where you can get it.
Yeah, he's got a rat face. All right, birthdays today. Phillies legend Steve Carlton celebrates a birthday
Lefty.
Today. Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty good. And I forgot one yesterday. I didn't just forget Adam Schefter's. I dropped the ball entirely from 6A to 10A.
You did.
I forgot our own boss, Chuck D'Amico. He turned 39 years old, so happy birthday.
How dare you?
Yesterday was the anniversary of his 39th birthday.
Events on this day in 1894.
Wait, that's it for birthdays?
Unless you have another one.
It's DaBaby's birthday.
Events today in 1980.
And
Meghan Trainor. Just saying.
Events today in 1894, one day after James Naismith was teaching a class at Balsillard University, the United States Golf Association was founded. So back-to-back big days for the sports world.
Wow. How about that? Pretty monster days.
We didn't really hit on the golf world about Charlie Woods.
Do you know you can bet on Charlie Woods' first major when he's on the tour?
Like, unbelievable.
There's all these prop bets about him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no doubt he's making the tour.
It was kind of depressing watching an 11-year-old like out clubbing me when they would give his club free yardage.
Somebody asked me on air Saturday if Charlie Woods gave me 15 to 20 strokes, could I beat him? And I was like, oh, God, no.
No.
I would need probably 25 to make it fairly competitive, 30 probably more likely.
He just won a tournament shooting 3 under on 9 holes.
Yeah.
So, no, we're not coming close.
He would smoke me.
Yeah.
In 1995, Anheuser-Busch agreed to sell the Cardinals for $150 million. That's a steal.
That is a steal for old Augie Bush and the boys down there. And as Doc Rivers calls, we will put an end to all
yes,
the takes.
Because Egan is double-dutying it and getting on the line. The basketball coach. Pat? And?
That's all it takes. Go to Doc.
All right. There we go. All right. Very excited here on the morning show for the first time to have on the new head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, Doc Rivers. Doc, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm great. How long am I new?
That's a good question.
Until you start losing, then it gets old.
Yeah, it's funny. That's what one of my a Philly fan told me. I asked him, and he said, your first loss.
So, and Doc Rivers brought to us by the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward, Doc. What has it been like? What's Philadelphia been like for you? I mean, obviously, you have been here many times. When I was covering the team, we ran into each other when you were with the Celtics, with the Clippers. But what has Philadelphia been like for you to be, you know, entrenched here so far?
I love it. You know, it's different, though. I think we have to acknowledge with COVID, it's not what it would have been. I can tell you that. But I just love the intensity. You know, I don't know if I've been out one time where I'm going to a store to get some groceries. Yeah, I do that.
Good man.
And, you know, or just doing some Christmas shopping, and there's someone that's going to say something to you. They're either going to give me advice on what I should do, or they're just going to say I'm a big Sixers fan. And honestly, that intensity I miss. You know, I had that in Boston. You know, the fans are very similar in that way. So for me, I love it.
Doc, when you come here as a new coach, and obviously you know the team, the makeup of the team before you get here, but when you get here, I assume a coach has a scheme in mind of what you like to do, what you're comfortable with. But, and I'm asking this in general, not specifically, but you come here and you see the team that you have assembled before you. What more did you see besides what you wanted to do, and then you looked at it and said, wow, we can do this too?
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a great question. You know, and you're right. So you look at a team from afar, and you always, if I coached them, I would do this, you know?
Right.
And then when you get the job, you start thinking of things that you would do. And then there's things that I've done in the past. We have a couple of sets, without me naming them, that we've run in the past, and I took out. And you do that all the time, too, because you're like, this team can't run this set. Well, the one set is a dribble handoff action with Joel involved that I thought would never work, and I didn't even try to do it. And our guys kept getting into it, like, organically, similar to the action, and we put it in, and it's probably going to be one of our better sets. So it's amazing, that old saying, you don't know a team until you play with them as a player or until you coach a team. You don't really know them, and that has come true in that regard for sure.
So, Doc, Jamie Lynch here, once I found out you were coming to town, one of the first things I did was I wanted to get to know you a little bit more, and you're featured in The Playbook on Netflix, a series about coaches, and I watched it, and I found the episode fascinating, and one of the big themes of that episode is a thing called, and forgive me if I mispronounce it, Ubuntu. And
wow, I'm impressed.
Did I nail it? All right, good start. So, my question is that something you carry with you to every team because it is a way of life and a way of living, or was that a particular message for that particular team? And if you change it year to year, team to team, whatever it is, what is the Sixers' message this year?
I do change it. I've not stayed with Ubuntu. I stay with that philosophy, but I change it here and there. And honestly, that's a word that I think you have to have a feel that team has to earn that, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have a team that you think can beat Ubuntu, then you should use Ubuntu. And I honestly think this is a team that can be. I haven't used it yet on them. Right now, we're talking more about just being a team and giving yourself, sacrificing. So we're talking about a lot of themes here right now, but I really believe that that's a term eventually that can be earned by this group. And I'm being honest, I've had a lot of teams since that year, and I chose not to use the word because I didn't think the team quite honestly deserved that word. But I really believe with this group, we have a chance to be there.
Doc, in listening to you on Zoom and then reading other things that you've said when I haven't seen it on Zoom, your reaction to watching Ben Simmons up close and personal has been, to me, it seemed like at first it was, whoa, like this guy's even more than maybe you thought he was. And I don't mean that you were, you know, downplaying him before, but has he and Joel Embiid, have they had that kind of effect on you that when you really see them day in and day out, it's even bigger than you thought?
Yeah. Then, you know, I knew he had a great game against us, not last year, but 2 years ago, where I was blown away by his vision and his power. I and so when you get in the gym, first of all, I don't know what they list him as, but it's wrong. he's bigger than that. He's stronger. He's faster. He has almost an unguardable gear that he can get to. And so trying to get him in that gear more will be my task. And he's not, you know, he's a guy, he's a facilitator, right? He's a guy that has, he does have Magic Johnson vision or LeBron James vision. But he's not a point guard yet. You know, a point guard is a guy that can come down, recognize an action, put the team in it. That's not Ben yet. Ben is a guy that is a facilitator, which is a big difference. He's a guy that you put in actions and you let his instincts read the actions. So that's a big difference than being like a pure point guard. But he should have the ball in his hands a lot.
Doc, what's a tougher thing to coach? Your son or your son-in-law?
Well, I'll let you know later on that one. You know, the difference with my son, I guess, is I could bench my son, and the only one that got mad at me was my son. you know, in this case, I got my daughter involved, and then that's a little tougher, I guess. But I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, Doc, if you can finish this sentence, what would it be in the short time you've had with these guys? When we are doing blank, we are at our best.
When we're playing at pace, we are at our best.
Okay, and pace means, I mean, obviously we all think quickness, but out of the basket pace, the forcing turnovers pace, what lends to good pace for you guys?
Pace for me, and, you know, I told our guys yesterday, because we were running so fast yesterday in practice at one point, I was getting dizzy. I was like, stop. we can't control that pace. Like, every team has to find their pace. Our pace cannot be slow. It has to be faster than mid, but we're not the Sacramento Kings of 2 years ago that was just literally trying to run everybody out of the gym. We have this thing that I term here is power. Our pace is power. We have big dudes who can run, and that creates power. And so getting Joel down the floor, getting Ben up and out, you know, not waiting. You know, there's a lot of times watching, we get the ball out of bounds, Ben would walk up the floor waiting for Joel. And we are telling Ben, no, go play. And then when Joel comes, very similar, I guess, in some ways to Magic and Kareem, but take out the Showtime part, I guess I would say.
Doc, do you believe that Ben Simmons can lead the league in assists this year? It seemed like he had a goal last year of becoming that next level defender, and he achieved that, and he's one of the best defenders in the league. I'm of the school of belief that he can, if he believes it this year, he can lead the league in assists. Is that something that has been talked about, discussed? Is that possibly a goal of his?
You know, I don't know if that's a goal because I don't really focus on those type of goals, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But he definitely can be one of the top guys in assists for sure. And even that, even a hockey assist, which you don't get any credit for in basketball for whatever reason. You know, he could definitely facilitate our offense and get us in an amazing place every time down the floor.
Doc, you've had amazing success with six men in this league, and I know some of it is fortunate to have who you did have. But does that come into your coaching? Like, does that come into play as your coaching allowed a six man, a second unit, to prosper because you concentrate on it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, I had Troy Hudson going all the way back in Orlando, and Eddie House coming off the bench. I give them specific goals on what they should do. I announce it to the team. I make sure the whole team knows why he is on the floor. You know, I remember the one with Lou Williams. Lou Williams came down four times in a row without taking a shot, and I called a timeout, and I asked Lou, and then I asked the team, did I put Lou in to get a defensive stop or to score? And obviously the answer is scoring, and I want my guys off the bench. You know, with this team, we literally have two guys that could just be, you know, flamethrowers coming in, and that's Shake and Furkan. I want them both coming in with the gun loaded and playing. And it doesn't matter who they're playing with. That's the tough part for those guys, because during the regular season, typically one of the stars will be on the floor with them, and they tend to, like, you know, pick a back seat when they come on the floor. I don't want them doing that. When you're on the floor, I want them being aggressive.
All right, Doc. I've procrastinated as always, and I'm a little slow on my Christmas shopping this year. You said you were out doing some shopping for the missus. You know, you got tons of kids, and I'm sure some grandkids in there. What's the can't miss Christmas gift for the missus this year?
Oh man, other than diamonds, is there one?
Not bad. Lucky her. Well, Doc, listen, we really, really appreciate you coming on. We will be following all year. Hopefully we can make this a regular thing where you're joining the morning show. And the last question I got to leave you with is, what's your Christmas go-to movie, Doc?
Die Hard.
That's not a Christmas movie. I have this argument with these guys all the time. Doc, much appreciated. Great luck this year. We hope everything works out well, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, Doc.
All right, thanks so much, Doc. Appreciate it.
He's
good,
great
man. Look, I told you guys so many times that the back and forth that I had with him, and years ago when I first started covering the league, Doug Collins called me into a room and said, I want you to meet somebody, and it was Doc. And the three of us sat there and talked for a while, and Doc was nice enough. Every time we encountered each other, he and I would have a conversation. I'm not kidding you. One of the most genuine people in sports I have ever met. Look,
yeah,
you make a lot of friends in sports, but sometimes there's a little chink. No chink in his armor. 610-632-0975. We are talking about the Eagles. Everything on the table. Check it out. Morning show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. Time at the Fanatic, 857.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Do you consider this a depressing Christmas song?
Well,
I mean, the content is, but
Elvis always kind of has a jazzy depression vibe to his voice, does he not?
When he does slow songs, yeah.
So no, I just hear Elvis.
Yeah, so do I. And I sing it, and I don't think that it's not a catchy. Like, I don't sing it and say, you know, it's Christmas. I kind of like the song. I don't hate it.
I mean, I don't think any Elvis song is unlikable.
I mean, Egan was the one that brought that up last time, saying, "I can't believe you like that song. It's a depressing Christmas song." I never really thought of it that way.
I don't think I said that.
Yeah, I think it was you.
I mean, sure, I'll take the blame for the show.
Anything that I disagree with in life, I tend to lean towards you.
You unfollowed a coworker today. You don't have room to talk.
Yeah.
Does it say on there when I unfollowed you?
No, I was just going through, like, my list.
What was your first day here?
I was purging, you know,
people that I don't need to follow anymore, like Nicole Roby Coleman, you're out.
So don't give away. It's going to be a game tomorrow.
So I was, you know, it shows you the people you're following, and then I see Bob Cooney 76, and it didn't have the follows you next to it. And I went, oh, that hurts.
I honest to God, I wish I knew how that happened.
I'm pretty sure it was Jenna.
It might have been Jenna. Yeah. She's part of a lot of the content of this show today. From the reason we're asking, now we're talking all Eagles all the time, of course. Where is this going? What's going on? Uh-huh. What would be your number one thing to get rid of or add or whatever it may be?
Can I just throw a little James Harden? A little nugget.
Go ahead.
From The Athletic and Sham Sharnia. Rockets players' early signs of tension in recent days include James Harden throwing a basketball at a rookie, setting the stage for Houston to tip off the season on Wednesday.
Look, until he grabs four scrubs and has a pickup game and defeats the first team.
This is going to happen.
Does everybody in the world know about it?
This is going to happen quick, though, I think. I don't think this is going to happen.
They're done with them. Well, yeah,
I mean, Jimmy Butler got traded 3 weeks into the season.
I think it's going to be something similar.
And that's kind of what I'm comparing it to, just because of the fact that he's obviously disgruntled. They are trying to get equal value to it or close to it, but they're going to have trouble doing that. And it was just like the Jimmy Butler situation. So I got to look up when exactly the Sixers traded for him.
I want to say it was early.
I want to say early November.
Yeah, early November is what jumps out.
So that's what, 2-3 weeks into the season?
Yeah, basically.
It'll be interesting because he's made it known, obviously, he wants to go to a contender. It's getting tougher and tougher for Houston, I think. You know, like his value has gone down, as we talked about before. I don't want any parts of him here in Philadelphia. But what I do want parts of here in Philadelphia is Doc Rivers. I mean, is that dude, he's the real deal. Everybody's going to wait to see how the team does to debate on what kind of coach he is. But as we got out of that interview, as I told you before in my interactions with him through the years, he's just like what you hear is what you see is what you get, and what you hear is what you get.
So for those of you that might not have known what the Ubuntu question was that I asked him, it's basically a philosophy that came from South Africa during the Nelson Mandela presidency and all that. And what it boils down to is a way of life. And I'm going to explain this because I thought his answer was very interesting. Ubuntu basically is a term meaning humanity. I am because we are. It's the belief in a universal bond of sharing that connects all humanity. So the way he applied it to the Celtics championship run, and this is all discussed in the playbook on Netflix, which if you're a Sixers fan, I highly recommend watching it, because Doc is such a calming presence. Like, he's just kind of like that rock. You kind of always know what you're going to get, and that's what I took away from it. But part of the Celtics run that turned the corner for them was this Ubuntu philosophy that he decided was appropriate for that team. Basically, it's buying in. If the 12th man succeeds, your star is going to succeed even more. It's all about the team rising together and buying into that. I thought his answer was interesting, because I wanted to know, did that go from, you know, the Magic to the Celtics to the Clippers and now to the Sixers? Is this something that he leans on? And he doesn't. He said, basically, you have to earn that. If I think you're worthy of that message, if I think you're, you know, whatever it is, when I know it, when I see it, then I will bring that message out. And he said he thinks this team is worthy of it, which to me, reading between the lines, is incredibly high praise.
It was a great question on your part. A great question on your part. Not just asking what it's about, but asking if it goes to this team. And Doc's answer was even better.
Yeah, not yet.
My favorite thing about coaches is the ones that come in and look and digest and coach.
Yeah, he's not even there yet.
And see what they have.
And did you notice, too, that your point there, I said, you know, what is it tougher coaching your son or your son-in-law? And for those that don't know, Seth Curry is his son-in-law. His answer was, I haven't even coached him yet.
Yeah.
He's only had him on the court for, what, 2.5 weeks, maybe?
Exactly.
He hasn't coached, so he doesn't even know yet. Like, he's still digesting when I can ride, when I need to bench, how to coach him. So he's still very much in the digestion phase of the Sixers.
When he can implement Ubuntu.
Sure.
Like that.
What he talked about, the dribble high handoff. You know, I didn't think that was going to be a thing, and then I saw them naturally going to it, and I realized that could be one of our best things.
Yeah.
and he's still formulating, I think, his ultimate vision for this team.
I love that. Yeah, I absolutely.
That's coaching.
It is. I understand you come in with a scheme, with a way that you like to play. That's great.
But it might not work with the team you have.
It might not work, or if it does work, what else are you going to add to
Where's
it?
The wrinkles we can add into it?
Yeah, and I to me, you know, I've been a basketball lifer, obviously. It's when coaches talk about a team going at a dizzying pace, that excites me.
That's a good problem to have.
Like, a lot of times you'll run. If you're a coach, you'll run just because you have a team that can't do anything in the half court. So running kind of hides that, right? Mm-hmm. You get out to run. Oh, get a rebound and run, guys. Get a couple big guys out there. Just rebound and run, rebound and run.
You never want to have to ramp it up. You dialing it back is a good problem.
Exactly. So everything he said about that so far, look, we're not going to be these guys that, everything's great in Sixerville.
No, but I'll tell you what. They got a lot to figure out still.
Doc Rivers is, I said this to you guys before, and I'm not the guy that jumps on somebody's. I love Doc Rivers for this situation. When it happened, I loved it. When it was talked about, there was no other choice in my mind. I just think he is the guy for this job. He is, knowing the personalities, a little bit of Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, this is the guy that can bring the most out of him, and I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I'm really excited for tomorrow night. You can listen to the game right here on the station. Just to hear Tom McGinnis back in the arena, to see this new look squad with Danny Green. We saw, you know, teases of what a phenomenal defender he is.
Yeah.
Him and Seth Curry can shoot the ball. And then, as Doc called him, his flamethrowers off the bench and Furkan and Shake. And your question about the sixth man was great, because I think he is very intrigued with Shake Milton.
Yeah.
I think he sees the guy that can be that Lou Williams type. He said, look, when he was talking about the Clipper, guys, I didn't bring Lou in for his defense. I brought him in for his scoring. Like, let's go.
I was going to interrupt and say, yeah, I covered Lou Williams. I know for a fact you didn't bring him in for his defense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's so good, though, at evaluating that.
Yeah,
kind of
identifying
diamond
somebody's
in the rough
role and letting them thrive.
I mean, Lou Williams was not sixth man of the year Lou Williams when he got to Doc Rivers. And he was kind of a cast off that had been a journeyman and an NBA player. And then all of a sudden he got to Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers saw what, I don't know, maybe some people in here saw in Philadelphia, but he turned him into the sixth man of the year that now we actually talk about. Is Lou Williams a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm not there.
Yes, he
why,
is.
Why, see, Bob, why do you hate Lou Williams?
Love Lou Williams. One of my favorite guys to cover. Love Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
I think we need to make our standards a little higher for Hall of Famer.
Lou Williams.
Than saying he's the best non-starter in the league.
I mean, six man is a very critical role in a basketball team.
Bobby Jones.
So
is
setting a high pick. I'm not going to put a guy in the NBA in the Hall of Fame for being
Jason
able to
Williams
set a good pick.
Set great picks. He also killed a limo driver.
Yeah. Oh,
this went dark quick.
I know, right? Well, your mind is so intriguing to me and worrisome at the same time.
I'm trying to look up Lou's career point total because, you know,
I would say he's probably somewhere around the 13-14 point a game guy.
Where does he compare
to?
No, I
meant total points. He's approaching 15,000 career points.
All right, what's his average per game?
Per game? For his career, 14.5.
Yeah.
His last 3 years, damn, 22-20-18.
Yeah, he's going out with a flurry, that's for sure.
And how many years do you think he has left?
He came in the league in 2005-06, so this is his 15th year in the league.
He bounces. Like,
yeah,
that guy bounces.
Okay, he slowed down.
So,
yeah.
Bob, against your point,
he might have 20,000 career points fairly easily.
Bobby Jones has 11,000 career points and started 2 years out of his
tenure. I don't like to go to points. You're right. I shouldn't have brought that up, but he is a scorer. That's what Lou Williams is.
Yeah. I know it's a different day and age, but Bobby Jones played 12 seasons and started two of them.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to... Bobby Jones is borderline Hall of Fame. Let's not forget, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Basketball.
It's basketball. Bobby Jones had a great career at North Carolina,
sure.
Had a great career in the ABA, had a great career in the NBA. When you encompass all of those things,
like
Lou Williams came straight from high school, and I'm not knocking Lou Williams, and I'm not going to die on any hill arguing
against
him.
Don't knock South Gwinnett.
Exactly. I am not going to die on any hill about
Dwight
Lou.
Is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Probably.
The answer is yes.
Guys, but I think we forget a lot of times the Hall of Fame that, yes, and on the surface you go, the Hall of Fame is for the elite of the elite. But I'm sure if you look back through every single Hall of Fame, no matter what the sport, there's a lot of guys in there who were very good and impressive, but they're in. You know, I mean, like guys that during their day and age, during their heyday, you look back, and if you ask people that lived, they went, yeah, they weren't one of the best in the league. They were very good. So I think every Hall of Fame has become the Hall of Fame of very good.
Yeah.
They have to. I mean, it's you can't tell me the Baseball Hall of Fame is just full of just absolute studs.
No, Oh, my God. Phil Rizzuto's in the Baseball Hall of Fame for his playing career.
Rizzuto. Those are Z's. That's a movie reference.
Wow, did you get that one?
No, I didn't.
No,
sorry.
Those are Z's.
All right, there's a game. Right. Did Bob Cooney get the movie reference?
Oh, we got that game. Whatever.
You're going to fail a lot.
Oh, yeah, no question.
It's American classic Billy Madison, Bob.
Won a little award called an Oscar?
No, it didn't.
You don't know that. And I don't think you're rocking a Bing search to find out.
Here's how much of a hypocrite he is. So he'll get on me about not watching like Billy Madison, all the, you know, those. But he comes in here today and you bring up Chris Farley and he acts like he's such a comedic snob that he would never watch a Chris Farley movie because he was so overrated and blah, blah, blah.
I never once used the word overrated. Now you're
Jamie,
words
am I
in my
right?
Mouth.
I don't think he said overrated. I think he said something along the lines of not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Like, it's just, I'm sorry. It's not.
You don't have to be sorry. That's my whole point.
Well, no, apparently I do have to apologize.
No, don't be sorry about what your tastes are or aren't.
The guy who unfollows coworkers that he's sitting 6 feet away from.
You need to learn to accept people's tastes, Pat. And I'm not criticizing you. No, you do. You do that a lot. Like, you try to put upon people what their beliefs or their likes should be because they're yours.
Look, you can have your opinion. Way to go, it's just wrong.
I'll give you that one. Let's go to Travis here in South Philly. Travis, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Good. What's up, Travis?
I just want to talk about a little bit of your conversation at the end of yesterday. And I want to start off by saying I'm not a Folesian. I love Carson Wentz. I think Howie Roseman should be gone. But I want to know one thing. Jamie, you said that we got to get rid of one of the quarterbacks. We can't have both.
Yeah.
My thing is, why is we cuddling Carson Wentz? He has won nothing for this team. He put us in great position to be a home field advantage in 2017 and help us win that Super Bowl. But he hasn't done nothing for us where we coddling this guy that we can't. So we supposed to have a garbage backup to make him feel good? I don't get it.
It's twofold. One, I don't think he if you have to make the decision that Carson Wentz is going to compete for or be your starting quarterback, I just don't think. I'm not trying to coddle him with kid gloves, but if they make that decision, they have to put him in the best environment. And I don't think having Jalen Hurts and the fan base calling for him, the first interception or the first fumble, is conducive for that. And then secondly, I think there's too many holes in this team that need fixing from the draft. And if you have a guy that can get you a late first round draft pick in return, I don't want him wasting on my bench when I can get, you know, somebody, the second best linebacker in the draft at pick 27 that can help for 16 games. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I totally agree with everything you said. I have no disagreement with what you said, but my thing is when you build an organization, you also have to have quality players
absolutely
as your backups.
Yeah. Absolutely. And backup quarterback, as we know, Travis, is incredibly important. I would just try and figure it out somewhere else if I can turn Jalen Hurts into a first, if that's the decision they make.
I understand, but I got one more thing, and then I'm going to let y'all go. I understand totally. And like I said, I don't disagree with nothing you said. But my thing is, he needs to focus on looking down instead of looking over his shoulder.
Absolutely.
Look down the field because of this situation happened because of his play.
Absolutely.
If he didn't play like this, this wouldn't be a non-conversation.
Absolutely. And Travis, I wish he did. I wish we weren't really in this situation.
Charlotte.
But if you still believe Carson is your guy, it oddly could work out in that you could get a first-round draft pick back for him. And they have to make that decision who their guy is, you know, with $34 million owed to him and a tough contract to move. You know, he might be their guy. And people have to brace themselves for that because there is no clear answer.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I am all against coddling,
so-called
coddling.
But this year proved to you that it had an effect on him.
Yeah, well,
he was pissed then, off from the draft.
Maybe you got to move on. Maybe. You know, like, yeah, that's
totally.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 610-632-0975. We are talking all about Eagles this morning, but we also just had on Doc Rivers. If you have a Sixers point you want to make, we're here for you. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, morning show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And guess what? Basketball is back. And you know what that means. It's time for me to fire up the FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. From the opening tip to the final buzzer, there are so many ways to bet on FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is so easy to use. It's easy to register and easy to find. And you bet anything you want. They have the fastest withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winning in as little as 24 hours. I love the live betting. During a game, you pick up your phone, you look, you can do some live betting and see what trends are happening. You can place your bet as fast during a game if you see a trend. I tell you, how often I love to bet during a game is just crazy. I never thought I would like it, but I have now with FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. If you sign up today, FanDuel Sportsbook will let you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. They'll give you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Just do me a favor, please. When you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code Bob so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bob. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Is this the musical version? I never heard this one. I mean, instrumental version? Some guy just tweeted me, said, thanks, we know you covered the league. Thanks a lot. Do I bring that up too often? I just bring it up as a reference, but I told him thanks. We get it. You covered the league. I said, okay, thanks.
I mean, it was like 20 years of your life or 15
whatever.
Years of your life.
No, no big deal.
You know, I mean, really it's like the main reason like you're here, but it's...
No, and if I do say it too often, correct me on it, but the guy seemed a little angry, so I had to go back with a thanks.
I mean, we all reference, you know, our life or kind of who I we guess. Made us who we are.
I'm not bragging about it. It's just a fact. Like
that was your job, yes, for a long time.
Pat, I have a question to ask you because we don't communicate all that well and we unfollow each other on Twitter and everything.
We're not friends.
Was there a morning poll today?
There was. Was Bob wrong for unfollowing Jamie? 100% of the vote said yes.
Wow.
There wasn't.
That morning poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payments with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. What are you more excited for, Sixers opener tomorrow night or Eagles on Sunday?
Sixers opener. I'm pumped. I'm back. I was laying in the gutters. It was raining, and I was in a dark place with the Sixers.
Oh, I thought you meant
bubble.
Like when you had COVID, you were laying in the gutters.
No, not literally.
Oh, okay.
Figuratively. That's where I was as a Sixers fan. And Daryl Morey breathed some optimism, and Doc Rivers is a part of that. But they, I'm back. I'm ready to get hurt all over again.
I don't know if you could have gone from, if you remember, the last buzzer sounding on the sweep against the Celtics.
Oh, man, what a low point that was.
The low point that was then and the high point that is now. I don't know if we could have envisioned that when this last season ended.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a rematch with the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, ebbs and flows every year. There's always a team that takes a step up, takes a step down. Last year, I think the Raptors kind of surprised people with the step up or maintaining, I should say. The Heat kind of took that step up. Celtics kind of maintained. One of those three is going to take the step back this year.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And I think it's probably going to be the Raptors, although I think Boston has a possibility to take a slight step back. So, you know, you just hope that the Sixers are playing well enough to take that step up because we need it as a city, as a fan base, you know, this is what, year six of the process now?
Yes.
It's time. We all need this. And I think Doc is the right guy for the job. And as I said, he's that rock. He's that steadying force. And I think that will do wonders for this roster right now.
Yeah, I really could not envision. I remember when we were waiting for the Sixers to name a coach and we were like throwing names out there. Nothing felt right to me. Nothing. And I said
and
to you guys.
Dave Yeager was one of the names.
Yeah.
And he's on the staff.
Yeah. And I remember saying to you guys, like, there isn't a name that's hit me yet. And I don't know where it is.
Nothing wowed me.
And remember, I kept bringing up, like,
the
kid O'Quinn. Yeah. And I was just wondering. And then, boom, Doc Rivers hit. And I remember you and I talking. I think the day that we heard his name, we talked to each other. I was like,
Call him right now.
That's it. That's the name. There it is right there. So that'll be interesting. Now, you mentioned the Toronto Raptors, okay? Mm-hmm. I just went out into the hallway, as you did.
Yeah, I saw our friend.
Is that a violation?
No,
now, there's a Lithuanian tie.
His Lithuanian pride trumps the Raptors jersey. I don't like seeing it in our hallways, but I get why he does
like
it.
Like, on the day before opening day, that's what you're doing?
Yeah.
I'm not a jersey guy, as you know.
You think he's trolling a little bit?
Complete violation.
So Andrew Salchunas is wearing a Jonas Valanciunas Raptors jersey.
That's crap. I'm sorry, that's crap.
It's kind of crap,
there
yeah.
might be a story behind it.
I might have to do the trial on the midday show today of Salchunas.
Yeah, you know, and I can't wait for Anthony to come in.
Salchunas.
Anthony might rip it off his back.
He might.
You know, like, Anthony will come in with his Doc Irving, not Doc Rivers, Julius Irving jersey on.
So are you locked in tonight? Because Lakers-Clippers is late. That's 10 o'clock. But the first game is Warriors at Nets.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued to see what Durant and this Nets team. And the Nets might be that team that takes a big step up because they have one of the best players in the NBA now. I'm locked in. Steph versus Durant?
Yeah, me too. And watching Kevin Durant in preseason, he has not lost anything.
No.
He is such a good scorer. And
him and Harden are the best two in the league.
Yeah, pure scorers, probably. Yeah, because Steph does have off nights. When you don't have your specific thing happening, which is a three-pointer with Steph, sometimes you can have off nights. Yeah. Those guys can score in such a variety of ways.
I would put LeBron and Steph and kind of like AD right in that second tier right below those two.
Yeah. Hopefully Embiid gets you up to...
Superstar Dame Lillard.
Yeah, hopefully Embiid gets you up to 30 a game this year.
I'm telling you, his MVP odds, I wouldn't make a huge bet on it, but that's worth a little sprinkle this year.
And I'm going to bring that up tonight. Beers with Bob, 6 to 10. Or I'm sorry, 6 to 10. 6 to 8. Me, Devon Givens, D. Lineham, special edition of Beers with Bob. We're going to do a Sixers preview segment tonight brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, I love when you three get together and talk hoops. So
yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. But the talk today, besides talking with Doc Rivers, has been the Eagles. What do you do? Where do you go? It's got many people's brains in a pretzel. Lamar from Center City, what do you got on the Eagles, buddy?
Hey, buddy, how you guys doing today?
Great.
All right. I just had a few points of reference to Carson Wentz. I'm talking in defense of Carson Wentz.
Sure, we're all ears.
I say this because you have to understand, you know, sports are 90% psychological and 10% physical. So with that being said, if he has to come to a stadium every day and see actual trophy of Nick Foles, who's his backup, and his current coach, and their Super Bowl winners, that's psychologically disheartening. There's no way anyone's going to give you 100%.
Well, Lamar, there's a small part of me that agrees with you, but then he needs to turn that stupid statue, and I only say it's stupid for the purpose of this conversation, I love that statue, into motivation. Like, go look at that statue every day and funnel that into a positive energy, into a motivation to get your own statue in there. Like, I understand it hasn't been the best environment for him, but it's really not that bad. He got paid pretty handsomely. Use it to prove the doubters wrong. Michael Jordan used to get pissed off if his security guard said nice game to him. Like, take that statue and use it as a positive. Like, I don't necessarily want to give up on the kid either because I've seen too much good to outweigh the 1 year of bad, but he's got to get his own mind right.
Yeah, and it's all psychological at this point, and I just think the guy is just psychologically drained, and he has to go somewhere else.
I agree with you, and that's why I thought shutting him down this year was the best case, not only to give the team a smart, but to let him try and fade away a little bit, try and recharge, try and regroup, and try and figure it out.
And look, think about this scenario. Dallas, Jerry Jones will give him everything he wants. You know, you think about that.
Yeah, it might be something you look at. Lamar, give me the chick flick that you aren't too embarrassed to say you really enjoy.
Well, this is going to be ironic. It's going to be crazy. But I love anything Stormy Daniels in.
Stormy Daniels. Give him a Stormy Daniels movie.
Well played, sir.
Egan.
Well played.
That's right up your alley.
Chick flick.
Yeah. Good point.
So Harry Peter in the Chamber of Sequins is my personal favorite.
So other little hard nuggets are coming out. Apparently he's had several confrontations with teammates. He is really forcing their hand. This is why the NBA...
Does he play opening night?
It's getting to you wonder.
Yeah.
Or did they just send him home?
I think he will. You can't send him home because you still have him for 3 years.
Inconclusive test
but this
result?
This is where the NBA, man, if you lose a star, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to get fair value back for that star. Houston, the ownership and front office group in Houston right now is sweating bullets. And this is why Daryl Morey's
looks like a genius.
Playing it smart.
Well, not only the way he's handling it as far as him not coming here, but how about him getting out of Houston when he did?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, Daryl Morey.
Apparently that owner hates him for the China you know, tweet that cost him a lot of money last year and all that. And if Daryl plays this right, James Harden will be severely devalued very quickly.
Yeah, I still don't want him here.
If I can keep Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and add James Harden somehow. Like, if it gets to the point where they're considering Tobias Harris as fair return with, like, a Maxi or Thibodeau and, you know, a future first or two.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that.
First-rounders to me aren't even an issue because they're going to be late first-rounders.
Ideally, yeah.
I mean, unless there's a disaster, but like it doesn't even matter.
If Ben Simmons decides he wants out of here and hijacks the franchise.
Why would you say that? Like, why are you going
here?
It's
the NBA. The players have all the power.
But stop. Like,
Ben loves it here. He's never leaving. He loves us. He loves Pat Egan. Chuck in North Carolina here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Chuck?
Ben Simmons loves us.
That's right.
We got to just quit, you know, busting his balls over the jumper. You know, just let it be for what it is. I don't want James Harden. I think he's poisonous.
It's coming out that you might be right, Chuck.
I mean, y'all thought Jimmy Butler was hard on everybody? Jim, bring James Harden in here. Come on, man. I'm not even a basketball guy, and I already know that I wouldn't want him. You know, the points aren't worth the conflict.
I hear you.
You know, so. Anyway, look, y'all, I shared it with the guy who had just got a service call this morning to a 45-year-old man living in a camper in the front of his mom's yard. And his razor was tripping the breaker, and he had to get his mommy to call in for him. So when I get over there, we're like 10 minutes late, and he comes out the door. It's about time y'all showed up. Big old beer gut with a beer in his hand at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, boy, that is the American way if I've never seen it.
I am envious. I will say that, Chuck.
I mean, yep, living with your mom, 45 years old, rent-free, drinking a beer at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you know, don't get no better than that.
That sounds like heaven to me.
That was funny because the only thing he was worried about was shaving and, whatever. Anyway, man, I feel so bad for Carson Wentz. Everybody around here asked me, you know, do they think he's doing them wrong? Do y'all think, you know, what do you think?
We're a bunch of savages. Yeah,
but we're not, though. You know, we finally got our franchise quarterback. We put him on the everything, dude. He was going to be Donovan at everything. This kid was amazing. And just like you guys were saying, he's got to walk in and see a statue every day. Man, I don't care who you are. Look, I've blown out my knee, and I know I'm not a sports guy because Tyrone will boo you if you ever talk about an injury. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something.
I've shredded my knee, and you can relate. We all know we're not professional athletes, but you know what they go through to rehab, yes.
Yeah, at 26, I did it. I'm 40. I still don't jump out of tailgates of truck because I don't want to relive that injury. And I just think that all of his injuries, you know, to me, if I was Carson Wentz, I'd take the money and run. I'd do the Andrew Luck. Screw the NFL. I made my millions. He's got God behind him. He's got a beautiful family. Man, just get out, dude. I don't know if he's meant for it. Coming out of South Dakota, I mean, he went from South Dakota to Philadelphia. Look, I have traveled around the United States. The first time I came to Philly when you guys brought me, I was shaking in Center City when I went in to ask where to park the car. I was shaking. I was so overwhelmed. And I've been everywhere.
You bring this guy from South Dakota down here in Philadelphia, it's just completely overwhelming. I think it's finally just taking its toll on the kid, and I think he's going to be amazing, and I think he could possibly still have a Hall of Fame career, just not here.
Yeah,
and it breaks my heart because we're going to have to watch him go be amazing somewhere else. And I hope Frank Wright gets him. I really do. I want to see great things happen for him. And I hope Frank Wright gets a hold of him. And please, God, don't send him to Dallas or Washington. Please, whatever you do.
Yeah, they can't do that.
I'm begging you.
Chuck,
have a happy holiday.
Same to you, Chuck.
Christmas.
You too, Chuck. All right, Chuck. Thanks.
The Notebook. I'll cry.
All right, The Notebook. I got you, buddy. The Notebook is number one for me and Egan. Egan, you have to admit, every time you watch it, you're bawling like a baby.
I've never cried at a movie.
He has no heart.
I've come close before. I've come close, and I started getting more emotional after I became a dad. So when I watched Field of Dreams the first time, I got pretty choked up, but I didn't cry. When I watched Collateral Beauty with Will Smith. That movie will get you as a parent, and I came close with that. And then, ironically enough, Onward, the latest Pixar movie, that got you.
I remember being 10 years old, my best friend Glenn Olson, who is still my best friend, sitting next to me, and we were watching Brian's Song together, and it like replay every year. It was on once a year. And I remember almost busting my gut trying not to let him see me crying because that movie, man.
But
there
was he doing the same?
No way. I couldn't look at him. I was afraid to look over.
Why don't you ask him if he was doing the same that time?
He probably doesn't even remember. I have this weird, like, I remember so many things from childhood. My friends, the guys, my high school guys, I remember their home phone numbers from when we were back in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I just have that. But I do. That's one of my biggest memories of crying in a movie was not, I can still see us laying on my parents' floor in the living room, and like, don't look at Glenn because he's gonna see that you got tears in your eyes. I'll never ever forget
that.
That
was me on the flight while watching Click.
I got no problem shedding a tear, like, it doesn't.
No, either do I, but yeah. When you're on it, when it's unexpected and you're in a mass group of people,
yeah, that's hard.
I just put the hoodie up and I got the lump in the throat.
Ah,
it's just like, oh,
the lump in the throat gets you.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, God,
I gotta get it together.
Yeah, that lump in the throat, like when you were a kid, it hurt.
I grew up on Adam Sandler. Like, I was not expecting the I guess I knew the plots of the movie, but not to the lengths it would go. And I wasn't expecting to cry at an Adam Sandler.
So it's called Switch.
Click.
Or Click, rather. I'm sorry, Click. I haven't seen it yet. You keep telling me about it. Is it a case that you've told me so much about crying that it probably won't hit me?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think the unexpected nature of it is what got me.
Maybe I'll watch him
do... It is a moving scene, though, if you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I don't.
I haven't seen that movie in years. I probably need to go revisit it.
It's actually a pretty cool premise for a movie.
It is, yeah. Have you ever seen Collateral Beauty, though, with Helen Mirren and Will Smith? And
Wait, is that the one where you get... That's not the internship one, right?
No. I'll explain it to you because I don't want to give away the reveal, but that'll make you bawl your eyes out.
Hmm. Interesting.
But yeah, I've never gotten to that point.
So if I watch Adam Sandler on video do the Hanukkah song like five or six times before I watch
maybe
Click,
that would help.
Maybe
yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah,
cry.
Yeah. So Brian Wagner tweets in to shift gears back to the Eagles. Why are all the we can't write Cam off after one bad? Oh, Anthony Gargano in the studio can't write Cam off after one bad season. Are they the same saying you can't with Carson?
I saw that. That was he posted that I think last night or something. I saw that. Yeah.
Did Click make you cry, Ant? Is that why you're in here?
He's crying now, just thinking about it.
I gotta just tell you, I love the Doc interview.
Yeah, he's a good dude, isn't he?
He's the best.
He's cool.
I love. You guys did a great job too.
Oh,
yeah, I wanted to ask a couple questions that would kind of, you know, humanize them to the fan base because...
Well, I love that Netflix. I saw that, too.
Isn't that a great episode?
Oh, outrageous.
You walk away from that guy going, Doc's the guy.
Yeah, he's so... To your point that you guys made, and Bobby, you just made it, too, after he was off.
Steady.
About how calming he is.
Yeah,
He's... I love listening to him talk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a great... He's like a fascinating figure to me.
He's just a normal dude that if he sat in here with us right now and you said, pick the guy that's making $10 million a year NBA coach, it would be hard to do because he'd be having a beer with us feet up and talking about anything. I'm not talking just basketball.
Yeah, there's no airs.
No.
You know?
Right.
There's no like you've been around coaches and you know when you're around them and there's that weird, uncomfortable silence because they're so guarded and you're so, like, I'll give you a quick story. Brian Colangelo, right?
Sure.
Uh-huh. He comes in and he's going to come in on the show. So I go, Brian, why don't you take, he's just new, right?
Yep.
I said, why don't you take calls? You remember this, bro?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
I said, why don't you take calls? He looked at me like he was petrified. Like I asked him to walk a tightrope over, you know, Comcast Center. I was like, dude, just talk to the people, man.
Right.
You know, you don't have to give away any kind of secrets and whatever you're going to do, but let them get to know you.
Yeah.
And Doc Rivers is like, he's cool. He'll have a conversation. That's what these guys got to understand. It's all right, man. Have a conversation.
Yeah. A great story about Colangelo. When he and I had a one-on-one, it was a holiday. So the facility was closed and he asked to talk to me. He said, can I get an hour? So he and I, one-on-one, nobody in the facility. And the night before, I studied up on something just to make it more normal. Found out that he had a son, same age as one of my sons, and they both played soccer. That was my going. So, Brian, how's your son such and such? Is he looking to play soccer in college? My God, the guy like took off his jacket for 5 minutes and was actually a normal human being.
Exactly.
And things went better than expected. Now, he was pissed at me at something, so it wasn't great for me. But, right. You know, whatever it was. Yeah, the humanization of Doc Rivers doesn't need to be sought after. He has it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Down with you.
He is. Jamie, I've been telling him this, you know, for so long. He was one of my favorite people to be around, yeah. You know, back in the day. And yeah. He's just I think he's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I do too.
Perfect.
Yeah, fit. The influence he'll have on Ben Simmons.
Yes.
I think that's who he'll speak to the most. You know, I think Joel is going to be dependent upon Joel. I still think you can get through to Ben Simmons.
I agree.
Yeah. So I think Doc's presence with Ben is going to be a great thing.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Even tonight, man. Golden State.
I'm in. Yeah. Golden State, Brooklyn. Double header.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, super pumped up. All right, so tonight, 6 to 8, we got Beers with Bob, me, nice. Devon Givens, D-Line, and we'll give you our Sixers preview. Maybe we will have a couple, you know, toasts. What the heck? I'm trying to convince Jamie tomorrow. Him and Egan, tomorrow's Christmas Day here. I'm wearing a Christmas sweater. I'm going to have the stocking hat on.
I got nothing.
It's not you, but these two, forget it.
I just don't have anything. I'm not going to go out and buy
it. So I was going to bring mimosas for me and Jamie. Pat can't do it because he doesn't drink.
But I'll
in that. Dude, I love a mimosa.
I'm going to bring it for me. If he's not going to participate in the ugly sweater, me and you will do it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't have the Christmas tie.
I don't have anything.
I got to find it. I mean, I love that idea. If I had one, I'd wear it. Yeah. Something.
I'm just telling you, I'm not going to go out and buy something.
We got the Anthony Gargano show coming up next. What do you got today?
Oh, I'm more hooped up than
yes, you are.
Come on, man. Seth Curry.
Doc's son-in-law coming on.
Right. Seth Curry's coming on. I'm going to continue the Doc conversation with Seth.
Nice. He knows him probably just as good as anybody in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. Anthony Gargano coming up next. The great Anthony Gargano. Thanks for joining us on the morning show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. We'll be right back at it 6 a.m. tomorrow. Fun day tomorrow. It's going to be a holiday special day tomorrow. We're going to look to have fun, okay? Maybe there's going to be some mimosa action. Maybe not, but we'll see what happens. Time here at the Fanatic 952.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.